B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, we're going to get this thing rolling on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us. Jockey Cage Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Our 6 a.m. sponsor is our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. So your chance to qualify to be the second contestant in our biggest game show you've ever heard on sports radio in Philadelphia for a trip to Las Vegas for you and a friend. Coming up a little bit later on today, but you got to be listening 20 minutes past every single hour. Thanks to our friends at Philly Pretzel Factory, Iron Mountain Men's Health, the new Bet Parks Sports app, and of course our friends at Window Nation. So you got to be listening. Bob has your clues today. So, Bobby, the clues are in, ready to go today, 20 minutes past every hour.
It's difficult. You're going to have to put on your thinking cap for this one.
Thinking cap. We'll see how it happens. First contestant scored it yesterday. We'll see if they can do it again today. So, 11 games to go. And last night, the Sixers, they didn't play a G League lineup, as I heard people sort of mocking it on social media, but it was most certainly starless. And the Sixers come up with an effort from bench players that we haven't seen when they play with the real players. When they play with their two stars, and it was nice to see Joel Embiid at the game last night. James Harden, I'm sure, was home resting in bed, getting a good night's sleep, maybe. Or in the gym, working out. Maybe Jamie was suggesting earlier, maybe he was running the stairs.
Definitely.
You know, probably over. Probably run the Rocky steps.
He probably did the whole Rocky road.
Making sure. I was just surprised James Harden wasn't there last night for the festivities. Didn't look like he was. 76ers find themselves with a win against the Miami Heat. The game was odd. And I wonder what the mindset is. And that's where I want to start today is, do players feel less pressure when the stars aren't there to eyeball them or on the court with them? Because just Korkmaz alone, in the first, I always have the game on DVR. So that I'm watching it in the beginning so I can buzz through some of the timeouts. And Furkan Korkmaz is killing it to start the game. And I'm like, I got to get this thing rolling along. How is this happening? And I wondered if the inherent pressure of getting James Harden on this team, and expectations being through the roof, not only does it maybe cause a guy like James Harden to feel there's some extra pressure on him, but maybe the other guys on the roster, because last night that looked like, at times, looked like very comfortable street ball. And guys were enjoying themselves and smiling and relaxing. And I can't figure it out, Bob, why you wouldn't have a better performance when you have better talent on the court with you than last night, where guys looked much better. I think Shake looked better. I think Tyrese Maxey looks good on most nights. We're very happy with Tyrese. But it seemed odd to me. It seemed like they were very relaxed last night.
Yeah, it's like the substitute teacher taking over in school. You know, kids are going to act differently. Yeah, things are going to be different. You're going to be, maybe you don't like the teacher that you normally have, but you have a sub in and you can open your eyes and all of a sudden you like English and algebra and all those things because you're seeing it in a different way. You're being taught it in a different way. So, yeah, I mean, Doc Rivers probably said, look, guys, we don't have those two tonight. You guys got to step up. Play your game. Furkan, you got to shoot. Shake, you have to go out there and just be aggressive and be what you can be. Whatever it may be. It's
but it was weird. That was not what I expected at all.
Well, it's weird because you're taking away 55 points out of your lineup, so somebody's got to come up with that. And they're all very well aware of it. So Tyrese Maxey decided to take over the game. Shake and Furkan showed that they could score again. Look, I looked at it as, and I said this last night on the Beers with Bob show, is that you had to get something out of last night's game. It couldn't be, even though you're going in there and you're starting a Paul Millsap, Furkan Korkmaz getting time, you can't come away with it with saying, well, yeah, you lost, but that's because you didn't have Joel Embiid and James Harden. I said you have to come out of it with something, and they did. Maybe, just maybe, Shake Milton, Furkan Korkmaz, maybe those guys have turned the corner a little bit, and maybe you can rely on them a little bit more now come the end of the season or playoff time.
Yeah, I know Shake's in, kind of a tough spot.
in terms of getting minutes and kind of getting in a flow of things. He might only get 6, 7, 8 minutes a night, but he needs to do that. Like, that role is desperately needed for this team. And, you know,
a little more attacking, are you saying?
Yeah, and aggressiveness. Right. And if I'm Doc, I need to pump him up to get him there. I don't know why, even in those 6, 7, 8 minutes. If you know that's all you're getting, you almost have to be more aggressive in those 6, 7, 8 minutes. So I need what we saw from him last night. He can score at the NBA level. It just goes away at times. And he needs to find that, because exactly what he gave you last night, you need that in 12 to 14 minute runs probably in the playoffs. I need that guy.
I wonder, Pat, with Shake, whether it was something that Ala sort of alluded to it last night a little bit on the broadcast, that maybe sometimes when you have limited minutes, you're afraid to make mistakes because you're more worried about looking bad when you're out there than trying to be aggressive and play your game. That maybe that's part of it. When he was last night, knowing he was going to get more time, he played more relaxed.
That would make a little bit of sense. I could buy into that.
Yeah, it makes
sense. Well, we gave you a lot less airtime at the beginning of this show.
Yeah.
You used to make the...
And a lot of people would argue it's still too much.
You used to make the... did you get another memo? Is it
got a lot of emails.
Yeah, exactly. But now you earn more playing time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Shake needs to take the Pat Egan playbook.
You know, I think that does have something to do with it, because he doesn't get a ton of run. Korkmaz, I put zero stock into whatsoever.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to be that way after last night, though.
No, but I think if you play
that game again, that Korkmaz has a normal Korkmaz night. But, you know, it was nice to see the bench kind of, I personally think they kind of rallied around the no one's given a chance thing. And
No one likes us, we don't care.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I'll throw my hand up. You know, I thought it was a G League lineup. I thought, like, there's no point of even putting this game on.
But to Ala's point, which very well might be true, look, he's a guy that played in the league and understands it better than I do. But if Shake doesn't become that aggressive 7, 8 minute guy, then he's going to find himself out of the league.
I don't understand.
Like, you know what I mean? He's got to tap into that.
Yeah.
When I heard it, I didn't understand the mentality, because to me it would be like a guy, let's say you're breaking in as a weekend host. You're trying to be, you're a weekend sports radio host, and you take your time and you just... You don't put your full effort in it. You don't give it your all. And you're like, yeah, but you know what, though? But if you put me in an afternoon drive, I'd hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
It's that same, like, mentality. But you got to, if you're being given 8 minutes, 7 minutes, 6 minutes, you got to make the most of the 6 minutes to prove you need more time.
Yeah, I also kind of equated it last night. I was thinking about it. It's like the four of us going out golfing, and it's a scramble. Okay, we have 12-foot putts. We're going to have four chances. Each of us gets a chance.
Correct.
If you're the fourth guy, it's a lot easier seeing the other three. Or if you're one of the first three, yeah, it doesn't matter if I miss because I got the other guys behind me.
Have you seen us golf, Bob?
It's kind of like that.
I think it matters. Yeah.
No, John, you've been putting well.
Sometimes, yes.
So it's just the pressure is off.
There is
pressure, and that's 6 minutes. Maybe it takes him time to get warmed up. He's what did they call Vinny Johnson from Detroit,
the microwave. Yes.
Because he would come in on fire. Boom, he was heated up right away. Shake Milton might not be that guy, and if he isn't, if you can't get Jamie exactly what you said and correctly so, if you can't get that from him in an 8 minute run, he might just be useless for this.
So he's the ice chest.
Yeah, he is. He's got a belt.
Hey, Bet Parks is where odds, bets, slots, and games all come together. Check out Bet Parks. You'll love it. The Bet Parks app. Download it today. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. I was just glad to see them having a good time last night, because I completely doubted the lineup. I absolutely went into that. I was uninspired to watch at all. Like, I wasn't excited at all. Once I find out Embiid and Harden aren't playing,
I was
not excited at all to watch the game.
Not excited, but curious.
Yeah. Oh, I was curious.
Curious is exactly the way I would put it. Yes.
I thought I was going to end up fast forwarding through a lot of it.
Yeah.
Because I love skipping commercials.
Yeah, it is nice.
So it's just, you just come to a game, a 7:30 start, come to it at 8 o'clock, and you can really
bust through it.
But it also doesn't seem like you're spending as much time. Seems like you can get other stuff done. It doesn't seem like you're sitting on there the whole time. I was impressed, though, so I want to give him applause, but I don't understand how you couldn't be a better player when Embiid and Harden are on the court. When those guys are getting all the attention, when those guys are drawing all the defensive experts. I don't really understand it. I grasp it. It was a one-night thing.
Yeah.
But it played out nicely.
I mean, It's pretty easy. Here it is. 55 points go to Harden and Embiid. That probably means that you're not getting 28 from Maxey. You're not getting 20 from Milton. You're not getting 18 from Korkmaz.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you add all those up and say, hey, why can't you do that when those guys are there? Well, then you're scoring 170 points a game.
I don't need that from Shake. I need that aggressive style of play.
Like, that's exactly what I was
He can for. Score.
Sure.
He
took 18 shots last night.
He can get by guys in this league. He just needs to be aggressive.
Don't look now. The Sixers, Bucks, Celtics, all 2.5 back of the Heat. And the Celtics now have played 2 more games, but they are a win and a loss in the column behind your Sixers. They're all tied together, though. 2.5 games out of the Miami Heat. But what is apparent now, which is good, is I would say that Boston, Milwaukee, the Sixers, and the Heat can all say there's no chance for them to be in the play-in tournament. And I'm almost there with the Bulls. It's the Cavs in the 6th seed, now only one up on the Raptors. The Raptors desperately trying to get to that 6th seed and avoid that play-in tournament because you're going to get the Nets. And the Nets just one game above the Hornets. The Nets could drop to the 9th seed and then have to play in the one-and-done game to start the, you know, in the little NIT, the NBA's version of the NIT.
It's brutal. The East is brutal.
The Nets are 38-34. They have dug out from it. And I don't think anybody wants to play them. And anybody who says that they're okay with it in the NBA, I think it'd be a little false.
No, you never want to go against probably the best player in the league.
I think a one and done with them would be better, though. I think it'd be better to play them in the one and done.
Yeah, right?
You got to play them in a 7-game series. That might be a problem. It's nothing to sneeze at, Jamie. I mean, I thought it was a good opinion. I thought it really was.
Heard worse.
Hey, this Thursday is National Cheesesteak Day. We'll celebrate tomorrow here in studio as Delco Steaks is coming in. Our friends at Delco Steaks in Broomall and Ridley. Bring your coworkers and taste the number one best of Philly cheesesteak from my hometown, 19008 in Delco. Check it out, Delco Steaks. They want you to know you can't beat their meat. You can't.
You can't do it. Don't even try, Pat.
They don't even.
No, Pat,
and they're saying you don't do that.
I've tried to beat their meat many times.
Don't do it, and it just doesn't. Do not do it. Do not do it.
I tried.
All right, I heard an interesting story yesterday about the newest member of your Philadelphia Eagles. And when the Eagles were shopping for a top wide receiver and were in the mix for some of these wide receivers, I was getting excited and saying, "Wow, they're really being aggressive here." Zach Pascal, as I was told to pronounce it yesterday. Isn't that from from one of the Disney movies?
Yeah, it's from Tangled.
From Tangled, Pascal. Zach is, I was told yesterday, and a quote from someone around the Colts, teacher's pet was how it was described to me. And I said, well, what does it mean?
He doesn't mean a bad thing.
He goes, no, he goes, the guy is a hustler. He is a student of the game. He has potential aspirations to coach. And he's a guy who pays attention to the intricacies of the game and was very, very close to Nick Sirianni, including a little lunchtime basketball. And
he's got that dog mentality.
A coach's fly. So in other words.
Dog mentality.
In other words, Nick Sirianni got to bring in the teacher's pet.
Yeah, they were.
We get Zach Pascal.
Allegedly very, very tight from all the Indianapolis reports we read.
And to me, that's. Really? We go from talking about going after an impact wide receiver, and Jamie, you are to blame. Official blame, I put it on you. The official blame is on you because you brought up this name 3.5 freaking weeks ago.
It just kind of made sense.
And I got to tell you, I sort of hate you for it.
I think he was their emergency net plan.
That's what I think, too. By the way, nobody else was clamoring to get him.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's...
Jeez.
Underwhelming of a move, but he's not Jalen Reagor, so okay.
Yeah, they might not be done. I mean, they could draft somebody. That could be very well within their plans to say, all right, we got this guy. He can be a special teamer. He can be our fourth or fifth wide receiver. He's better than Jalen Reagor, Jamie just said.
No, he might be their second or third.
Okay, can we just stop that, though? Can we stop the he's better than Jalen Reagor crap? Everybody's better than Jalen Reagor.
Well,
so anybody you can bring in. So
you upgraded the room.
So, no, but it doesn't. You went out, and you went to the dollar store. I want you to upgrade. Just because you went to the dollar store and got yourself some one-ply toilet paper doesn't mean you upgrade.
He might be five and below.
Third or fourth receiver.
He might be five and below.
Anything. Don't stop comparing him to Jalen Reagor. Like
that, no, I'm not. I'm just saying he's better. Yeah, so you're going to push him
down.
Yeah,
but that's all I heard yesterday was, well, he's better than Jalen Reagor. Better than Jalen Reagor. I'm like, there are a slew of people you could bring in that are better than Jalen Reagor. That's a low, low bar.
Yeah, but he was talking about number two wide receiver.
If you're talking about winning something, he was never a number two, though.
Well, that's what they had him as here, though.
Yeah, on the depth chart.
Like, yeah.
I just...
Let's push him down.
I'm disappointed with this one, I got to say. Now, maybe...
It's not exciting.
It said to me they're going to draft a wide receiver again in the first round.
Wow.
First round?
I think they are. Yeah.
Three years in a row.
Jeez.
Wow, I hear you. Detroit Lions all of a sudden?
Oh,
hey,
man.
They hit on
Pat, are you cringing?
Guys.
Pat, are you cringing a little bit when you hear Bob say that?
No, I'm not cringing at all because they probably need that. I mean, look who they have. They're not going out. They're not getting a veteran wide receiver other than this dude who just wants to play rock, paper, scissors with Nick Sirianni. Like, no, they need more talent in that room.
To me, again, and it does matter to me, like there was no apparent market for Zach Pascal. Like there was nobody was, in fact, going back to Indianapolis was an option. Like, potentially was an option. There was nobody clamoring for him. He's sitting out there going, hi, here,
free agency opened last week. Like, okay. Let's not act like it's 10 weeks in a free agency and he's still on the market. He might have had offers out there and he wanted to come to Philadelphia because of his relationship with Nick Sirianni.
Okay. Okay, I just,
I'm with you. I'm not running out and getting a Zach Pascal. He's got to earn that stank on his name. I'm not running out and getting that jersey yet. Like Jamie over here has been banging the drum for him for 2 weeks.
Jamie screwed us all over.
Yeah,
I want you to know that as a fan base. If you're blaming anyone, blame James Lynch.
Look, if you're going to be a solid team, you have to upgrade everywhere. And as much as you say, oh, I'm sick of hearing Jalen Reagor, and I hear you on that, John. But if you've upgraded your third or fourth receiver, I'm okay with
it. No, but I don't want to hear him described as better than Jalen Reagor. Everybody's better than Jalen Reagor.
Okay.
Like anybody, like I don't want that to be the barometer. I could find guys who are sitting on the street that are available, that have NFL experience that are better than Jalen Reagor. Like, I mean, that's the lowest bar. You have to upgrade it. That's the lowest bar.
I know it's a low bar, but that's our reality. I mean, he was the number two wide receiver on the depth chart last year. Quez is better than him. That was clear by the end of the year. And maybe,
Quez shouldn't be a two either, though.
I think ideally he's a three, but yes, I like ideally a little bit of Quez.
So what is Zach Pascal?
He's probably a three on most teams at best.
No, on this team.
They might use him in that 2-3
role.
Oh,
jeez. So how much did you upgrade? Seriously, how much did you upgrade?
Minimally. But it's an upgrade.
You upgrade with a guy like 30 catches?
I mean, he's had 600 yards. He was trending okay the year before Wentz and really went downhill last year. I wonder why. But the 2 years prior, I think he had like 630 yards. And I mean, he's got like triple the touchdowns Jalen Reagor does in his career. So, you know, whatever.
Again, Jalen Reagor, I don't want him to be the pro. Everybody, we know anybody's better than Jalen Reagor.
But they didn't.
What do you
I mean,
mean?
No, John Hightower would have been better than Jalen Reagor last year.
No, they were going to justify the Jalen Reagor pick, so they were going to continue to play him. So that's the thing.
So the more people you bring in, he's not going anywhere. No, he's not. No.
And they're going to keep throwing him out there.
I don't know about this.
Yes, you do.
I don't know.
Pat?
I think there's a chance he gets traded at the draft, but I think it's highly, highly likely. I'd say 90-10 that he's back.
Oh, he's back.
If J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's back, then he's back.
I mean...
I just don't think they're going to force feed him anymore.
You know.
I mean, that would be insane.
What would lead you to believe that?
Nothing.
Howie always tries to justify his draft picks.
I appreciate that honesty.
He justifies his draft picks, and he shoves it down our throats and says, here it is. Here, we're going to keep feeding Jalen Reagor.
Yeah.
In critical spots, too. We're going to make sure this guy is a focal point, and obviously Nick Sirianni buys into it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a good reason to tell you. I just don't think they can do it again. But then J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was here.
Yeah, if you go into next season and you have Devontae Smith and say, I don't know, a Treylon Burks or maybe a Jameson Williams, something like that, and then your third receiver is whoever, if this guy or Watkins or whatever are battling it out, the further you push down, I hear what you're saying, but the further you push Jalen Reagor down the depth chart, the better. And this guy does that. So therefore, it's an upgrade.
You had to upgrade in like eight different areas.
I swear to you, I just don't know.
I wanted Mike Williams, but those dreams are over.
No. And I get that. I get the
so it's a massive drop off from what we were. I mean, Calvin Ridley. That's a massive drop off.
It's a massive drop off.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
I wish Zach Pascal would bet on
a $1,500 parlay.
Wish
Calvin.
He'd bet on a game.
Man.
Wish the Bet Parks app.
Yeah.
Is available for you. I'm just saying. Maybe it'd be. Oh, it's just. I loved it yesterday because it was over and over again yesterday afternoon. Well, it's better than Jalen Reagor. I'm like, stop it.
That's all we got.
Just stop it. There's nothing else good to say
Is it mom seen or not? His mom seems cool on Twitter.
Oh, that's nice.
I gave her some restaurant recommendations last night.
His mom seems nice on Twitter.
Yeah, she was very excited for her son to be in Philadelphia.
Well, you need to change your Twitter handle to Welcome to Philadelphia because anytime a mediocre athlete gets
signed, she asked for recommendations.
Like, hey, mama, I'm
here.
And
you sent her to all these bougie spots.
I sent her to some good
every
ones.
Bougie spot that there was.
Some good recommendations.
The Sixers trade for James Harden. And who's Jamie tweeting at? Paul Millsap trying to show him where he needs to golf.
What up, Paul?
It's unbelievable.
Tourism board over here.
All right, it's time. Your first clue of the day comes from Robert Cooney. You're going to need four clues by 9:30, and then you call in if you can answer. Tell us what the memorable moment is from the John Kincaid Show that Bob is hinting at. What's the first clue, Bobby?
Hand.
Okay. Hand.
Newest Phillies reliever.
Is the first clue.
Mr. Hand.
Wish we got him like 2 years ago, too.
He had a good year.
That hand would have been great. Another one 2 years ago.
He's better than what they had.
It's better than Jalen Reagor. Better than Jalen Reagor.
Hey, he's not David Hale, right?
People are going to put them on their business cards now. Better than Jalen Reagor. So Bob said the word hand. So hand is the word, the first clue of the day. Be listening. Bob will have a clue for you 20 minutes past every hour. You put all the clues together after 9:30. We ask you to call in and you tell us about the memorable moment of the John Kincaid Show. You could be the second contestant in our game show coming up in just a little bit. Kyle Schwarber, he's got a really, really interesting approach, and I think you're going to like it. He'll explain it himself. Coming your way next. It's the John Kincaid Show. Thanks for hanging out with us on 97.5, The Fanatic. You need a trusted HVAC company. Because if your HVAC system starts to break down, you know that you need somebody to count on. And that's why H&H Heating and Air Conditioning are the ones to deal with. You wondered last year if your old air conditioning system was going to get you through the season. Well, why not replace it? And replace it now before the rush. Take advantage of preseason savings through my friends at H&H. H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. The Hoke brothers have been doing it for a long time at DelcoHVAC.com. You can also right now get an estimate on a new system before the season comes. Take advantage of the preseason savings before it really heats up and then inventory gets low. They will give you an estimate on a new comfort system with rebates up to $1,500 or 0% financing for qualified buyers. See why H&H Heating and Air Conditioning is our choice in the Kincaid household and has gotten more than 1,000 five-star ratings online. They're going to take spectacular care for you. So here's what I want you to do. Schedule an estimate today. Go to DelcoHVAC.com. Don't forget, ask for the $500 John Kincaid install discount when you do, and you'll save yourself some cash. Tell them I sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Boston Architectural College wants you to know they're having a virtual open house. Jamie's always wanted to build things. Well, Boston Architectural College could help him. They offer excellence in design education. They got a virtual open house March 23rd. Visit the-bac.edu to get more details. Maybe you could build something, Jamie.
That'd be a cool job.
I always think that'd be a cool job.
Yeah, I have two buddies that are architects, and I'm always like, it's pretty cool.
That's a humble brag.
Two buddies that are architects?
Oh, my cousin. No, my cousin is buddies at all.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he does.
My college has a...
At the club. Nah. Pat, at the country club, there's going to be...
Yeah,
you're going to run into some architects.
My college lawyers, had an architectural school.
Lawyers, so did mine.
Yeah.
And I remember the poor kids having to do this...
They grind, man.
They had to do this marble maze. You had to create a box, a sealed box. Had to be made out of corrugated cardboard, so you had to use a cardboard box. And there had to be a entry point that was the double the size of a marble... And an exit point that was double the size of a marble. And you had to, for like the class project, you had to be able to create something where you could, the professor could drop it in the box and it would exit the box between 30 and like 38 seconds.
Hmm.
So you had to create like, okay, well, how do I do that? And these kids would stay up.
Yeah.
It was like they were so stressed out.
Yeah.
How did I do this?
The students I knew used to live at the architecture
center. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they work hard for their degrees.
We didn't do that in RTF.
No. I didn't work hard for mine.
The communications department
We didn't do that. We didn't have to do anything that structured, you know, everything. And Bob was, you know, out playing basketball. And
I had to get a shot up within 38 seconds.
He had to do that. It was terrible. That's what he had to do. Pat, do you want to apologize to the whole Philadelphia Beasley cluster? Because yesterday you really did. I can't believe you did it.
Yeah. I just want to say, first and foremost, I really appreciate the opportunity that you guys have given me in all sincerity. And today will be my last day.
What'd you do?
I'm tendering my resignation because I did something so horrific.
And it wasn't game time last week.
Yeah, it wasn't. I it's hard for me to even show my face here. I woke up from a nap, and in a moment of weakness, I replied all.
You replied
I didn't mean to do it.
That's horrible.
I was mortified as soon as I did it. I texted my brother in arms, Jamie.
Ah.
I told him, you know, about my plight. And
what did Jamie say?
He
was at the club.
His number. He was, yeah. He was disgusted in me because we are staunch non-reply all people. We pride ourselves in making fun of the people that reply all.
Who does that?
Exactly.
I mean, who are the people?
And
that
last
do
night,
that?
I was that person who did it, and I am horrified. I'm mortified. I'm disgusted in my behavior, and I don't think I can show my face on the show.
So
again.
You responded to Greg's email?
Yeah,
because Greg was telling everybody that he was out.
He's going to be out.
That he was going to be out.
And if
now, whenever
requests,
whenever Greg's out, he tells the entire.
Yeah, he does.
Cluster.
Well,
he lets the whole cluster know I'm out because he's a very valuable member of the team.
Yes.
Unlike us, who don't have to tell anybody, Greg, but even...
Well, you understand, Greg is our graphics guy. He does all the graphics for the cluster.
He's outstanding.
So him being out is actually a big deal. You know, we have this from time to time. People will send out, hey, I'm going to be on vacation if you need me. I didn't mean to reply all, but I did it. And I'm ashamed. So I apologize to everyone in Beasley Media, not just here, but in Charlotte.
I think you're going to get an email
Detroit,
today.
Boston. I probably will.
Naples.
I want to just say it was great.
I think it only went to Philly, though.
I don't know.
I think it was all
Philly. Maybe somebody forwarded it.
I think it said all Philly staff.
I'm pretty sure Bruce and Caroline are discussing it now.
They are? Okay.
It was, yeah.
Well, good luck to you.
Thanks, guys.
Of all the people.
I mean, seriously.
I mean,
Pat.
I just didn't see it coming.
I didn't think Pat would be the one that would be sloppy and negligent.
Yeah. Typically, it's like kind of a brown nosing thing where you want to like suck up and
you
want to congratulate somebody.
Welcome on your congratulations.
Congrats
to you.
On that.
And it is a brown nosing thing.
Yeah, right? 100%.
When you reply to all on something like that, it is a brown nose.
Just send them an individual email or text.
Yes.
Stop by and. Face to face and see someone.
I'm mad at you, Pat.
I mentioned yesterday to somebody. To one of the guys at hockey. I mentioned, you know, I did this horrible thing at work, and he said, "What did you do? Like tweet out porn?" And I said, "No, way worse." I replied all.
He was on his team, and they got on the ice together, and he dropped the gloves with Pat. That's how mad he was.
Yeah,
he was pissed as you about it
because nobody likes a reply aller.
No, not even a little bit.
No, because then others jump on board with it.
Yeah.
One person replies all, and then you see a bunch of people. It tends to be a two and three people.
Yeah,
I
typically want to throw my phone into the nearest body of water.
Stop it. Stop it, you people. You're the one who brought
us sickness.
Zach Pascal.
Well, here's the question.
You should just zip it, Jamie.
The question is, is it more of a violation to reply all, or is it more of a violation than that to reply all to the reply all?
The reply all to the reply all.
The reply all to the reply all, because you should be able to identify the a-holes around you. You should be able to identify them and then not follow them.
The worst is the 6 hour after the fact reply all. Usually there's the reply all.
Yes.
There's a string that comes in the first hour, and then you think you're done with it, and six hours later, the nighttime DJ from WHYY chimes in and replies all, and you're like, dude, that is a situation where you're waving your arms saying, I'm still here.
By the way, are people dumb? Do you think people
yes,
are
I just proved
no,
it. I replied all.
With emails. Yeah. Do you think people are dumb? Yesterday, I got an email from Aunt Joan.
What did you say, Aunt Joan?
No, it wasn't Aunt Joan.
Oh.
It's a fake email from Aunt Joan.
Never mind.
That Aunt Joan. So this person's trying to do me, Aunt Joan. Well, they're dumb enough to think that I'm going, boy, this is strange because I've had this argument before with somebody on email, has done this to me, and all of a sudden I get an Aunt Joan email. So I'm like, okay, well, let me look. Oh, isn't it strange? It comes from the same IP address as this other person.
Weird.
Who had the same argument. So Aunt Joan lives with another man who did the same argument with
me. That's strange.
And I said,
Joe.
And I said, I finally responded. His Aunt Joan came back at me again with another thing. And I said, hey, Aunt Joan, give me your phone number. I'd love to give you a call and let's talk about this. Oh, I don't give my phone number out. Well, you're stupid. You're a stupid idiot enough that your IP address is the exact same as the emails you've sent me before, you big moron. How dumb are people?
Seriously,
in today's day and age, how dumb are people? Aunt Joan. And Aunt Joan's my email. Yes. Hi, Aunt Joan.
Got him.
Yeah, and it's not her. It's Harry. Kyle Schwarber, if this guy can't at least intrigue you or excite you, I don't think you have a baseball pulse. Because he was really, really interesting yesterday. He talked about his philosophy of how he has become available as a leadoff hitter and how it wasn't part of his repertoire, but then now how he approaches it today. Listen in.
Once it got put in there, you know, I just made it my own. I stopped thinking as a label and think about it as just a position to hit, right? You're just the first guy to hit in the inning, and then you're hitting wherever after that. So it's just taking your at bat, you know, to go up there. You know what? I know what I do well, and I want to do what I do well all the time. And just because I'm hitting, you know, first shouldn't change that.
I love Kyle Schwarber.
It's a good approach.
Because I've always wondered why that isn't the approach. I've always wondered why baseball is so antiquated that it's like nobody is Ricky Henderson anymore. Nobody is Tim Raines anymore. That prototypical leadoff hitter. I don't understand why it took so long for people to learn what Kyle Schwarber has obviously embraced. You rarely lead off twice. Especially now that you're in a DH, you're rarely going to lead off twice. It's just by random chance that you'd lead off again. Just take your at bat.
It's always going to be different situations. One time you're going to come up with nobody on base. It might be the only time that game.
Correct.
As the leadoff hitter. It's always looked upon as the guy that has to get on base. It's not that prototypical thing anymore that you're talking about, John, especially now with the DH. You're not going to have the pitcher making the last out of the inning a lot of times.
Are you looking forward to no DH? I mean, to a DH?
I haven't really come to grips with it yet. And it's funny because when I started writing out lineups on Sunday, like I was 12 years old again, I found it weird. Fun, but weird. So I haven't really come
weird.
To grips with it. Yeah.
You excited?
Yeah, I like it. I mean,
by the way, Schwarber's got me excited.
Yeah.
That's a great, I love hearing that approach, and I don't understand why it's not more people's approach.
Yeah, not having to see Aaron Nola half-ass his way through an at-bat again is more minutes of my life that aren't wasted. I mean, yeah, an occasional pitcher hit is cool, but come on. I mean, like, why are we wasting time here? There is the aspect of the double switch and planning ahead and this. I don't care. I'd rather just see nine guys that can actually hit.
It's gonna be fun to watch.
It is, and it's going to be easy to manage, you would think. I mean, we always talked about it. Do you think you could go in and coach an NBA game, a hockey game, football, whatever? I always thought baseball would probably be the easiest to go through nine innings. All you're really doing is changing pitchers, maybe. Now it's really simple. Joe Girardi's back to his comfort zone, right?
It is easy.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing is, though, is where the National League managers had it much harder.
Sure.
Much harder. Now they're going to be like, wait a minute. This is what
you guys have been doing this whole time?
This is pretty easy.
Gabe Kapler's not going to know what to do with himself.
Does he have one less binder of information? Does he have one less, like, you know?
Probably
it's like,
not.
It's like he's got the binder that Connor gives us every single morning.
Well, now he has to replace it with the designated hitter binder.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, so you throw out the double switch binder and you bring in the designated hitter binder.
I'm very anxious to watch this, but I love Schwarber's energy, his approach, and I do think it matters bringing in guys to your organization that are winners, that have been around winning, that have been, and that they were a major part of it, that they were a part of somebody being a winner. That's the difference to me, is that you can be part of a winner and just along for the ride. Or you could be a guy who actually severely contributed, and this is a guy who enjoys postseason baseball, and he says he wants to get back and have more of it, which is great.
Yeah, you always want those guys in your clubhouse, no doubt about it. They didn't have a ton of them in the past.
No, they did not.
McCutchen never really won. He played at high levels.
He went to postseason in Pittsburgh, didn't he?
San Francisco he did.
I thought he went once in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
San Francisco he went, and then with the Yankees I think he went.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he had a little bit of experience, but still, though.
Bryce once.
Bryce multiple, didn't he? I think he went multiple in Washington.
Maybe
didn't
twice. Yeah, maybe
I think
twice.
He had bad
two series.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Look, it's good. I love the approach. And now I'm bought in, because I sort of cringed when we heard about Schwarber's leadoff, and I'm going, yeah, I like that. I like the approach.
Yeah, I don't know how great of a leadoff hitter he's going to be, but he's the best you have.
He's better than Jalen Reagor.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
right,
are you gonna,
exactly.
If he doesn't lead off, what are your other choices? Is it Segura? Is it Bryce Harper? It's not like an abundance of riches to have a leadoff guy, and if he wants it and embraces it, then he's good to go for me.
I listen too much to words. I care too much about words, but he won me over yesterday. Like he has me very excited and interested. I liked his answers. I liked his approach. He's got a swagger to them. He really does. He has a bit of a swagger to himself. Which I think
a good
is
number,
great.
Number 12.
You like that?
Matt Stairs. Into the night.
Now, you know what's weird is? I couldn't have told you Matt Stairs' number.
I only know it because I read it in a story or saw it on Twitter.
I couldn't have told you Matt Stairs' number.
Yeah, I only said it. Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to tell you that.
The only reason I knew it.
Hey, remember, you're listening 20 minutes past every hour, as Bob Cooney today is going to try to help you get qualified to be the second contestant in our game show that is going to help get you to Las Vegas with us. Sponsored by our friends at Philly Pretzel Factory, the all-new Parks Sportsbook app, betparks.com. You can go to Iron Mountain Men's Health and our friends at Window Nation. Every hour, Bob's got a clue for you today, 20 minutes past the hour. You put the four verbal clues together. We ask for a caller around 9:35. If you can tell us the memorable moment from the John Kincaid Show, you will be going with us to Las Vegas. I will just tell you, today is not easy. I do not think it's easy. So be listening and be a big fan of the show. Let's wander over to Cooney's Corner, where he wants to talk about the handling of the last couple games.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Yeah, I think the Sixers lucked out a little bit with last night's win.
Yeah, think?
Yeah, there's little doubt in my mind that they went in saying, and Doc Rivers was even on record as saying that it was possible that he was going to rest of Joel Embiid and James Harden, that he was going to rest one of them, maybe two of them. And I didn't know if he was going to do it at the same time, but it became a little bit apparent when on Friday night he decided to roll both of them out there. And you're thinking, or not Friday night, I'm sorry, what's today? Today's
Sunday
Tuesday.
Night.
Sunday night, right. Sunday night he decides to roll them out there. I think he's thinking, all right, Toronto, you get a win, then I can rest the guys against Miami. It would be a tough game anyway. You lose that one, it's okay. And then they go out against Toronto and they lose, and they don't have a good effort. But you can't go back on not resting the guys after you've already told them you're going to rest them. So yesterday afternoon, I'm thinking, oh, this didn't play out the way you thought at all. You wanted to go 1-1. You already lost the one. You've already promised the day off. You're going to go 0-2. It's not going to go well. And then they come out with a performance like they did last night. They couldn't have got any more out of that performance without Joel Embiid and James Harden than they did last night. You got something from exactly what you wanted from everybody that you put out there last night. And it was a night for Shake Milton to gain confidence. It was a night for Tyrese Maxey maybe to get his offense back going a little bit. It was a game for Furkan Korkmaz to get 20-plus minutes and say, all right, go out there and find your shot. everything that they needed to get done last night, maybe moving forward. Now, I'm not going to say, oh, you know, Korkmaz should be in the playoff rotation or anything like that. But you got exactly what you needed to get out of that game last night. And you got the win also.
I'm still shocked by what I saw. And I'm hoping that some of that, you're saying about getting confidence, I'm hoping some of that carries over. And I wonder, Jamie, are these guys a little tight playing with Joel Embiid and James Harden? Like they're almost, maybe they get caught watching when you're playing with
tight
players like that.
Maybe there's a sense of pressure that they
to
feel.
Succeed with them.
Yeah, that they know, you know, it's championship and there's roles to be had, and maybe they're, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, athletes and their mindset sometimes. You never know, but I mean, yeah, you needed that last night. You needed Shake Milton. Tyrese is Tyrese. I think he's kind of a given at this point. But, you know, look, I don't really want to see Furkan in the playoffs, but it's good that he gets those games under his belt in case he does have to play in the playoffs. Shake Milton's the one where I'm like, dude, if I'm Doc, I'm pulling him in today and just going, this is great. This is great. This is what we need. Even if you're getting 7 minutes, Shake, this is what you have to do right from the get-go. Just go. You know, have them watch Jamal Crawford.
So against
have him
the
watch.
Lakers, you're playing the road trip coming up. You play the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Suns. You want to see more of that.
Yeah.
So this is what I need to see.
Yeah. Here's Lou Williams tape. Here's Jamal Crawford tape. Watch these guys. It's just instant offense. I don't care about your defense. I don't care about your just offense. That's what you need.
He plays defense?
Eh.
Just wondering.
It's overrated.
Patty, you feeling it or what?
Nice win. There were some things that I would have liked differently with this team. Immediately, like, I don't need to see Danny Green in a game where you're resting veterans. And I understand that
they needed him last night, though.
I understand. Look, hear me out. I understand that, you know, look, you needed him, and he doesn't have the workload on his body this season as Joel Embiid and James Harden and all of that. But in that kind of game, I'd rather see Isaiah Joe longer than Danny Green, because I know what I'm getting from Danny Green. I don't know what I'm getting from Isaiah Joe. And this is sounding ridiculous because Danny Green didn't play poorly last night. But in that kind of game, I thought, okay, you're going to see some of the younger players. And in a way, you did, but not as much to my liking. Like, Paul Reed came in for, what, 35 seconds?
Yeah.
Isaiah Joe played 4 minutes.
But Danny Green is the guy that you really need to get rolling. He's a critical part.
Well,
Is it, or now does your thought go to there's a battle?
No, there's a battle between Danny Green and Shake Milton. You know what I mean? Like, if Doc's throwing it out there and saying, here's an audition, and last night was one of them, Shake, I'm not sure Danny Green played 48 minutes combined the two games prior.
Right.
You could go to Shake Milton and say, look, dude, there's 24 minutes a game that might be up for grabs if you can prove yourself in these last 12 games. Because Danny Green slowed down. I don't really trust him. He's not looking to shoot. When he does shoot, he hasn't been really hitting shots lately. We need some injection of offense in the second unit. You're going to get an audition for these last 11 games. He passed last night. But I hear what Pat's saying, too. I thought the exact same thing. Why is Danny Green out there on this night? I would have played Isaiah Joe his minutes.
He did have a nice, though. He did help them out last night, which is nice. So it's good to see for Danny. Already had three people check in with me here.
Aunt Joan, week. One of them?
No, Aunt Joan has not, but Kevin Walls has checked in.
Kevin,
one
Walls.
Of our fine listeners. Kevin and Daniel has also checked in and everything. Pro Football Focus ranks the wide receivers in the NFL.
I saw this.
Jalen Reagor was 91st. Pascal was 94th.
Yeah, that's crap. I mean, PFF can take that and pound sand with it.
Now, remember, I am not a PFF guy anymore.
No.
Because of the fact that they said the Eagles should never have played Nick Foles back.
Here's your guidelines with PFF. Use it if it's advantageous to us. Ignore it completely and call it trash if it's not.
So that's the
reasonable.
Yeah.
That sounds very intelligent and reasonable.
Yeah. It does. It's the Jamie Lynch book
if
of
you like the stat, keep it and use it.
Uh-huh.
If you don't like the stat, ignore it and it's crap.
And before, just completely downplay
that's exactly how everybody uses it, though. So.
Zach Pascal.
But how do they come up with that? In all honesty, okay. I mean, just look at the stats.
Indianapolis star, just as recently, I'm reading one here. If Pascal did not end up with the Eagles, he could have potentially been invited back to the Colts, but there appeared to be no apparent market for his talents. So nobody else wanted him. And it's like, this is what, Nick, seriously, Nick.
You know nobody else
you know
wanted,
a guy.
Yeah, go ahead. You know nobody else wanted? Chris Long.
Yeah, no.
And they signed him.
No, and they won a Super Bowl.
Coincidence?
Maybe.
When nobody else wants players and Philadelphia does, championships
Zach Pascal.
Show up about 8 months later.
I hope the guy has a great
not
year.
Always.
Now, you know what, though? I would think if he goes out and catches 50 balls.
Nah, that ain't happening.
If he caught 50 balls, I would say, I'm wrong. Zach did a great job. Nice acquisition. If he could be a 50-catch wide receiver, that's not asking a lot. I mean, it really isn't.
No, I didn't look at this as the number two receiver, the number three. I just looked at it as an addition to the wide receiver core. I really didn't. I'm not down on it as much as you because I really didn't care about it all that much, to be honest. I really do think they might hit wide receiver in this draft.
15 touchdowns in his career. How many does Jalen Reagor have?
Three, maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, but PFF.
Yeah, I mean,
all he does is catch touchdowns.
That's basically it, Bob.
He's Chris Carter all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just don't know how you look at it. Look, I'm not watching every Colts game, so I can't tell you. I just know that Jalen Reagor drops open touchdown passes and can't run routes completely. And
well, they're saying there, if he didn't go to Philly, Indianapolis might have been his only option. But he's a guy who wants to get into coaching,
too. Somebody would have picked him up.
Now I know that because
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is an NFL contract. Somebody would have picked
him
up.
And he might be the man out because Pascal, it's going to take me a little while to get
used to. A little stink on the name is what Pascal.
The thing he does best, allegedly, is block.
Right. Hey, the Eagles are pushing a media narrative that Jamie wants to talk about. And I don't think the Sixers care about this anymore at all. It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. You need to beat the rush. Your home is going to be stinking hot this summer. Why? Because your windows have been keeping you cold all winter long. How many times during the course of the winter did you have to bundle up inside your house? Because the windows are not doing their job. Well, Window Nation has got a great deal for you. You can do your window shopping online at windownation.com. Every size, every style, every color available for you. Buy two windows, get two free. Pay nothing for two full years. No money down, no payments, and no interest also in the mix. This is great. So you don't open your wallet for two full years. You go to windownation.com, you pick the style, the color, the size of the window that you need, and you're buying two and you're getting two. This is a great, great deal, and it's not going to last forever. From a company with an A-plus rating with a Better Business Bureau that has installed over a million windows. Window Nation has got your back. Call 866-90-NATION and tell them you want to take advantage of this great, great deal before it goes away with these beautiful, energy-efficient windows that are going to change your life all summer long. Tell them John Kincaid from The Fanatic sent you in.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
AM hour is brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code Fanatic. Bob looks like a Q-tip over there.
That's Hoodie Cooney.
He's got his hoodie up.
I'm freezing today.
It is a little cold.
I swear, that's why I was walking up and down the hallway because I am freezing.
I think it's a little chilly.
Jamie, how are your nipples?
Erect, Pat.
They're always.
He immediately went down and felt. Let me say.
They're okay. Yeah, he had to go feel himself to find out if his nipples were right.
Yeah, I could cut glass. I could cut some glass.
Yeah, you abs. You yeah.
Now is that a family trait?
I don't think so.
Yeah, this is a dangerous road.
It's really dangerous.
I don't think anybody wants to talk about my family tree of nipples.
Yeah, we don't need that.
The Lynch areola family tree.
There it is.
Yeah.
Well. Oh my God.
How are yours, Bob?
Jamie, well, he's freezing, obviously. Hey,
I'm so cold.
Jamie, something you didn't get to last hour about the media narrative from the Eagles.
Yeah, I thought this was a really good job by Jimmy Kemsky out there, so hat tip to him.
Jimmy, don't like that!
Yeah, a lot of people you see that cover the team, and this is a shot at no one in particular. It's just, you know, one of those things you see trotted out there, that the narrative of, oh, well, if you consider this year's free agent class, you know, you got to consider Joshua, Jordan Mailata, Avante Maddox, and yada, yada, yada. Okay, I guess.
Yeah, that was Adam has pushed that on us twice.
Yeah, that's coming directly from the front office of the Eagles because, I mean, yeah, technically they could be a part of this class, but those four guys, and Dallas Goedert was the fourth, four guys, as pointed out by Jimmy Kemsky, is only $14 million against the salary cap. The thing that's preventing the Eagles from making big splashes in free agency this year is the dead contract money of $36 million still, which is shared between Derek Barnett, Malik Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz, Joe Flacco, Eric Wilson, and some others.
Oh, my.
So, while yes...
You're paying dead money on a backup quarterback that you didn't even...
Eric Wilson? Like, what?
Unbelievable.
So, yes, you do get some credit for, you know, signing your own guys, but that's not the reason why this offseason's been quiet. The reason why is because, again, for the second year in a row, you have north of $34 million in dead money.
If the Falcons didn't have their big dead cap hit, the Eagles are second.
Yes, they're second all time now to Matt Ryan.
Which is incredible.
But, you know,
again, but I mean, even this year, the cap hit number, I think, is second to Atlanta's.
Another
giant number.
It's $36 million.
It's unbelievable.
So, you know, I just don't want to hear the, oh, you got to consider Jordan Mailata, Dallas Goedert, Avante Maddox. No, not really.
Well, also, too, what you got.
$14 million isn't that much.
Also, what we have to consider is the fact that guys also turned down the chance to be here. That had opportunities that they were in on. And I'm going to say, look, Robert Woods goes wherever he wants to go.
Sure.
The deals were on the table.
If I'm him, I'm going to Nashville, too.
And he chose. There's guys that didn't want to come here. I'm glad Deshaun Watson didn't want to come here. Thank God for that. And because I do think they would have been tempted.
Yeah, absolutely. They would have been tempted.
Russell Wilson didn't want to come here. I mean, part of this offseason is the fact is you couldn't get people to take your money. Also, people didn't want your money.
Yeah. I never bought the narrative of people don't want to come to Philadelphia. Look, there might be some players.
Did.
Yeah. There could be some, but, you know, there could be.
I just gave you three.
Well, they could have gone maybe they wanted to go somewhere more than they wanted to come here. That might not mean they didn't want to come here.
Well, they wouldn't waive their no trade clause. Two of them wouldn't waive their no trade clause to come here. So they said, no, Philadelphia, it's off the table. Don't even talk with them.
Well, Russell Wilson's a stupid head.
Robert Woods is a guy he chose a spot. He thought they're closer to winning a Super Bowl.
He's a cotton-headed knitting muggins.
Cotton-headed knitting muggins.
Come on,
we
man.
Say in the house all the time.
Hey, you're cotton-headed knitting muggins.
Yeah, that's what Robert Woods is.
I'd prefer you didn't say that.
Cotton-headed knitting muggins?
It's a tough one.
Does it hit a little too close to home for you?
Yeah, I've
been called that before.
Well, believe me.
Wow.
I've been called many a thing. These Southerners are nasty. They get really nasty.
As nasty as the elves?
They can really get nasty at you. Hey, no matter the result of the 76ers Heat game last night, which shocked everybody. I mean, if you saw that coming, I don't know what you saw happening. It was shocking. But it's clear to me what the Sixers' plan is. They don't care if they finish third or fourth. They want to be third or fourth. And they did a giant segment on it with Amy Fadul on the pregame show where it's like, yeah, it seems like the Sixers are okay being third or fourth. That they're not going to do anything to chase down one of the top seeds at the expense of running their batteries further down. It's a strategy that may pay off in the long run. But it also appears, Bob, that to me, they're trying to avoid the Nets. That's what I'm taking away from it. That now the strategy is, no, they're not going to push it. And they did a really nice job on the pregame show just looking at it and going, yeah, they're not going to push themselves. And Doc has even said there may be two more games where Embiid and Harden get rest in the last 11. There could be two more, minimum one more. So I think their mindset is, yeah, that play-in tournament, whoever wins that 7-8 game is playing the 2 seed, and whoever wins the other game is going to play the 1 seed. We're good. We're good. You see in the Nets, there has to be a strategy to it.
Way too much in it. No, they want to go out and win every game. And if there was a strategy to it, then they would have said, all right, well, tonight we're going to sit the starters but lose to Miami.
Well, you can't tell the guys on the court that they're going to go.
But that's
lose
what you're. That's what you're saying. You're saying they don't care that they go. They want to go out there and win every game. Doc Rivers wants to go out there and win every game, whether Joel Embiid's playing, whether James Harden's playing, whoever it may be. They're not doing what you do, we do, whatever, and looking at the standings saying, okay, right now we're at third. So, let's see, they're going to climb here. No, they're professional basketball players. They're professional
athletes.
Then
why do you rest Harden and Embiid in the same night?
They needed rest. They want to deliver this team the best they can to the playoffs.
Why would you give one of them a night off against Toronto then and one of them a night off against Miami? Why would you rest your two best players in the same night?
They still won the game. What difference does it make? You really think the professional players with the competitiveness that they have and coaches and all are really sitting there going, okay, let's see now. We don't want them, so let's see if we can win this game and maybe go 10-4 over there.
They don't care about that, John.
Trust me. They don't do that.
Okay, well, you better tell the pregame show, too, on TV last night.
They did a whole thing.
Like Jimmy Lanham coached in the league. Yeah. He talked about it. That they were literally saying, we don't care. It'd be fine. Sit in this middle, soft middle. They were even calling it the soft middle. I mean, Coach Lynam coached in the NBA. I don't think he's just saying that it's something mythical.
I'll call Jimmy Lynam right now and say, do you think that they really are sitting there scrutinizing the standings to see who they could match up with in the first round and who they could avoid?
They don't care about being the top.
And he would say no.
Well, they don't care about being the top. That is what they said last night.
If they could, they'd want to win every game from here on out. To a player, to a coach, to a GM, to everybody. They want to win every time they step on the floor.
If you want to win every game, Jamie, if you want to win every game, you don't rest Harden and Embiid in the same night.
Yeah.
You can't say, I want to win every game, but I'm going to rest the two of the top 10, 12 players in the NBA on the same night.
I don't want the two seed. We're trying to win every game. If I was Doc, I wouldn't want the two seed. You know what I mean? Like, I think what Bob says is accurate to a degree, but in the back of Doc's mind, he goes, I don't want that two seed, man. I don't want the best player in the world in the first round of the playoffs. No, thank you. Because he's already going to be on the hot seat, anything short of an Eastern Conference Finals. If he goes out in the first round,
If we're going to go by that, then when Maxey got hot in the fourth quarter, he should have sat him.
No, but I don't think they're going to throw a game.
Yeah,
I think the roster is saying we're going to put out. They put out a roster last night. They did not expect that roster was going to beat the Miami Heat. I don't care what anybody tries to tell me. It happened.
I don't think so.
It happened. It was just a great night, and it worked out for them very, very much. They're not going to throw a game in the midst of a game because the professional athletes won't do that.
I also don't think it's a coincidence that they've sat versus the Heat two games in a row.
Keep them away.
Now, there might be the schedule.
And they won them both, right?
Harden set that one, I believe. I think there's probably a little more credit to it than what Bob gives it, but not that much more. You know what I mean? Like, Doc, come on. You don't want to see Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in the first round. They literally
talked about it last night pregame going, this is the soft middle. That soft middle.
Yeah, 3-4 is fine.
3-4. And it doesn't matter because then they were talking, too, about the road schedule. We rarely see a team in the top four that isn't better at home than the road.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, the Sixers are 5 games over .500 Pat at home. It is, and I think they're like 11 or 12 over .500 on the road. These splits are crazy because it's something you don't usually see of a top team in the conference.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, it was the exact opposite. They were awesome. Money at home and trash on the road. John, nothing against you, man. I feel gross agreeing with you, but yeah, I don't think
you don't have to say that every time you agree with John.
What
that it feels gross, Pat.
But if it does, I want him to say it. If you need a shower, Pat, I want you to speak your truth.
There's no way they went into that game expecting to win.
They didn't try to win last night.
I think you were hoping for the best, expecting a blowout. Yeah,
it worked out beautifully.
When you sit Harden and you sit Embiid on the same night.
And by the way, I think that's, and I'll say it again, I think it screws over your customers.
I think it screws over
the kid who maybe goes to one game a year and looks at the schedule and says, oh, the Heat, one of the best teams in the East. Dad, can you take me to a game? And you sit out your two best players on the same night when you're in a playoff push?
I was surprised.
I think that sucks to the consumer.
Very surprised they did it at home.
I expected them
to sit both of them on the road, but that doesn't, like, I think the players obviously going out there want to win, but I think if you give Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey and Elton Brand truth serum, they probably take heat you know, Heat and the points.
That's why I don't think it's a coincidence it's been the Heat both times. I think they're projecting ahead to a second round series with the Heat.
Don't let Spoelstra get more tape. Is that
my theory.
I told you before about how I wanted them to practice their zone against a team from the West because I don't want the East to see it and go against it. So, yeah, I find definitely some truth into that.
Yeah, I think they're going, Spoelstra, yeah, you're good enough. We're not giving you more ammo for the playoffs.
Hey, have you got problems with your building's water and wastewater pump system? Visit PumpManPhilly.com. Visit PumpManPhilly.com.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's my cue.
Pump! Pumpman Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. Good to have Pumpman Philly back with us.
I was afraid Pat's flow wasn't working there.
Pat, I was thinking your flow
was back.
I was going to call Dr. Avi Donapel and
get him to help you out a little bit. My vocal cords have just rebounded from football season, streaming Pump for 17 weeks in a row.
You did do a great job with that, by the way, and I think the Pump Man loves it. People running into him. Look who's here. Here's somebody you talk about. People love to give a good yell every once in a while. Mike from Del Ran joins us. Mike, good morning. Hey, Mike, see, there you go. If Pat's out sick, you're in.
I got so two quick things. I also don't think it would have benefited us at all if you took Embiid, who's looked gassed the last few games in the fourth quarter, and Harden, who's like had no rhythm for whatever reason the last couple games, and then throw them out there and lose that game last night. I had no problem with them sitting. But the second point is the consumer. My buddy went to the game last night. He told me he's kind of pissed off that they weren't playing. He took his two kids. But afterwards, I asked him. He said it was actually probably one of the most fun he's had of the game. His kids loved it. They pulled out a win. It was a good win.
That's a great win
for those guys.
What does the little kid go to the game though, Mike? What they want to see? They want to see Embiid. They want to see Harden.
You know what else, though, Jim? I think Maxie's starting to become.
I was just going to say,
yeah, he is.
They got the Tyrese Maxie show last night.
Thanks, and the
whole stadium chanting Maxie.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was really cool. And him playing it up to the crowd. And, you know, after the game, he just said, Philly's different. I think this kid absolutely loves it here.
He's one of the most early beloved young athletes this city.
Absolutely.
Seen.
You know why? Because he's got steel ones.
And joy.
And we love that.
Yeah, he's smart. He shows that he likes playing the game.
Yeah.
I mean, he loves playing the game.
They asked him about it last night after the game, and he said, you know, why are you so joyous and how do you have so much fun on the court? He said, I wake up every day and I get to play basketball for a living. It's pretty cool. And I went, as simple as that is, it's rare to hear an athlete actually say that.
Steve on social media wants to know where James Harden was last night.
The Lilas. He said,
well, will they tell us? Or they just say, we told him to stay in? Will they give us an if someone asked, would they give you an explanation on that?
I would assume so, yeah.
Like why you wouldn't
be on
the bench?
He could have been in the back. I mean, there's been times I know the players have been there and have stayed in the back and worked out, stayed on a treadmill, watched the game, whatever it may be. It could be a case of maybe every time James Harden goes to the arena, he does something, like gets on the treadmill, like I said, or the bike or whatever, and they didn't want him doing that, so they said, James, stay home. We don't want you to even come to the arena. It could be in, you know, a myriad of things.
Or he just could be supporting single mothers on Delaware Avenue. Yeah.
Could be.
I mean, I hope he was not
photographed out last.
Yeah, he was chucking dead presidents.
That wouldn't be good.
Doing. Well, but, you know, they got to pay for college, Pat.
I don't criticize him at all. I think he's doing the Lord's work.
By the way,
he's helping the community.
By the way, just the anti-James Harden trade thing. Marc-Andre Fleury was traded at 11 a.m. yesterday morning. He grabbed a commercial flight, got to the stadium, and played for his new team last night. Well, just for his new team last night.
Wow.
I mean, like, it's the anti, yeah, I need like 2 weeks. I have things to take care of.
NBA players are a bit spoiled much.
He was traded at 11 in the morning. He found out at 11:05 in the morning. He was notified. He then went home, packed a bag. His new team booked a commercial flight for him. He arrived an hour and a half before the game, taking a cab to the stadium. And then dressed for his new team. Yeah, I got like two. Can I have like 2 weeks to just get comfortable with the idea of my new city and everything? He said, there's just a difference.
If Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III can take 10 days to get here.
That's unbelievable.
James Harden can take three months.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, Glenn Robinson III walked from Golden State to Philadelphia.
Jamie Lynch says this guy's the most important guy in the linchpin.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, this kind of came up on Sunday, just talking Phillies on the Wake and Bake minus the Bake radio this past Sunday. You know, somebody's going to be paramount to this team making the playoffs. I think they're a tier below a championship, like a true championship contender, but I do think they're playoff caliber.
Okay. I think that's fair. Playoff caliber.
Yeah. If fill in the blank.
Uh-oh.
Lives up to expectations.
And this is also, I'm glad you put this here, because that's also something I was thinking about all day on Sunday also.
I think for me, it's fairly easy and crystal clear. If Aaron Nola can be anywhere near a number two in this league, I think they're a lock to make the playoffs. He needs to get back to what he's been in his career. I'm hoping last season was the outlier and not the beginning of the end. But if he can get back to form, I think they're a lock to make the playoffs.
The outlier was the year he had a top four year.
No. Look at his stats again.
He's never had a top 20 either.
You're crazy.
Yeah, he's never had a top 20 either. So this is what... Are we going to do this again? Aaron Nola is an absolute ace.
All right, so James, give me...
You've disappointed me now if that's what we're counting on.
Give me numbers that you need from him then. If you're going to put it all on him, give me numbers.
3-2 to 3-3.
All right, give me, like, you know, wins, everything. How many is he?
Wins isn't really a pitcher stat, but I'd say he needs 13 or 14 at a minimum.
30 starts, plus 30 plus starts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd say 3-3 ERA.
That's a pretty good number, too.
No. If he gets that, yeah. I absolutely agree with you. As long as Zach Wheeler is okay.
Like 3-3 to 3-5.
Three-five's there.
Well, we're not making bets right now. I'm just saying, if he gives you
I was going to ask if you guys wanted to jump
but
in on that.
But if you said
that.
Three, if you tell me 3-3, 3-5, that's more, I think that's more fine. a little three-ish.
Yeah, your offense should be able to score more than 4 runs.
Should be.
Every game. And that's
why. The best offenses in the league typically average around like 5.2, 5.3 a game.
I think 5's that number you're going to need.
You're going to need 5.
With this staff, you're definitely going to need it.
So who's everybody else's?
Cameron Bray.
Yeah?
No.
Alec Bohm.
That was mine, you jerk.
I got to say it first.
Come on, man.
Pat!
His name's on the show. He gets to go first.
Pat, I got to say it first.
That's a good point. I see your name on the show. All right, go ahead. Tell me
Bohm's a good one. I considered
him,
too.
I think Alec Bohm is a real key to it. He's a real key to this season.
Because if he
as far as we already know the other guys, we're all penciling them in, and we think we're putting them in pen or in Sharpie. If it's you know, a guy like Harper, Sharpie.
Sure.
Real Muto's offensive production pretty much Sharpie, and even though it's been declining every year.
One of the best parts of Castellanos is that he can play third in a pinch.
Yes.
I think he
plays better than Bohm.
Yeah, probably better than. Well, I don't think they want to put him there. I think they want Bohm to take the job.
How about pinch me if he can play third better?
But if he starts being a butcher again and is costing pitchers runs and the bullpen runs, they might move Nick up.
He's better than Jalen Reagor.
That's true.
I was going to go Reese Hoskins.
Yeah.
That's not a bad one.
Yeah, just because who is he? Is he the home run hitter? Is he the on-base guy? Is he, you know, a line drive kind of guy? I don't think after the years he's been with the Phillies, this is kind of amazing. I can't define him as a hitter right now. And he's been here a while. And he's had some really, really good times. And he's had some really, really struggling times. I can't define him as a hitter. So I need consistency out of him.
Hey, if you need to get away, it's not how far away you go. It's how far away you feel. Pack light, plan big for Philadelphia. Book your stay at visitphilly.com. The second clue from Bob Cooney to potentially get you into our game show, which is going to come up in early April, your chance to win a trip to Las Vegas. Bob, what is clue word number two?
Down.
Okay, we do not give the first hour clue. The second hour clue is?
Down.
Okay, if you knew the first hour clue, put the two of them together and quickly get to it. And you have a chance to go to Las Vegas with us. You have to qualify. How about the gentleman yesterday? I'm drawing a blank on his name. He was the second guy on hold.
Oh, Steve Kulcher, I believe.
Steve was upset.
So Steve.
Poor Steve.
Huge listener.
Steve's listening to WHYY today. He's out on
it. He is? He's jumped out?
Yeah, he's completely out.
Good. At least he's not listening to that Peter and Stan. You know, I mean, come on now. They don't even have coffee for Bob. Good coffee for Bob.
That's my fault. I forgot to bring in coffee for myself today.
All right, so you've heard Bob's clues. Be listening. There'll be two more in case you don't know the story of where we're going with this. Your chance to qualify to win a trip to Las Vegas with us. Round trip airfare for two with phillysportstrips.com. Round trip airfare for two. 3-night stay at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino and passes to 2 all-inclusive draft parties. We are going to have a blast, and it's going to be absolutely awesome. All right, coming up on the show, there's some salary hurdles that are really salary opportunities for the Phillies. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. With three first-round draft picks, why wouldn't you be in Las Vegas with us to see the Philadelphia Eagles conduct the most important draft in their history? Philly Sports Trips Now is running a trip to the NFL draft, and we're going to be there, and you're going to be with us at Planet Hollywood, right across from the Bellagio Fountains. Philly Sports Trips has all the parties lined up. Right now, book your deposit at phillysportstrips.com. You're going to want to be there with us, partying with us. We had such a great time at the Daylight Beach Club, and we're going to be back there again on Friday afternoon. Grab your friends. Come on out. And if you've already booked your trip to Vegas on your own, you can still join up with us and the rest of your Philly brothers and sisters by partying with us in Vegas. You can just get party passes right now. Just go to phillysportstrips.com. Sign up to join us for the parties if you don't want the whole trip. It's going to be a ton of fun. We want you there with us. So sign up right now. Go to phillysportstrips.com. You heard Vince on with us yesterday. We're going to put a party together. It is so much fun. Where else would the Eagles fans be but with us in Vegas for the draft? phillysportstrips.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Hopefully you're having a great Tuesday morning. The Flyers and the Red Wings tonight in The Fanatic. So, Pat, you get to be back here tonight.
Yes. It is...
Flyers and the Red Wings.
It's going to be a game.
No fanny packs for Coatsy, though, right?
They are going to skate.
Players will skate around. Goals will eventually be scored.
Is Tippett playing?
He is playing. Yeah, he played the other night.
All right.
Is Mert in tonight for Coatsy, or is Coatsy back?
I think Coatsy is back.
Okay, hopefully Coatsy back.
I believe Coatsy is back. Nothing against Jason, but it's a better broadcast with Coatsy.
Well, Coatsy's just Coatsy.
Yeah, Coatsy's Coatsy.
Coatsy's Coatsy.
Nothing against Jason, but Coatsy brings a lot to the table, so.
He really does.
He makes listening to that team bearable.
Hey, DryTech Waterproofing wants you to know that Mike Missinelli will go into his pocket and pay 15% of your bill. You didn't probably even realize this, Pat, what Mike does for people. You protect your home with DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Mike's going to pay 15% of the bill. All you have to do is just mention Mike Missinelli, and then they bill Mike for that 15%.
That's nice of him.
It's the kind of guy he is.
Generous guy.
For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust the experts at DryTech, DryTechCorp.com.
And then he might give you a tee to go golfing with.
He might.
Yeah.
Right. Gave us some tees yesterday.
Yeah, he's a real gentleman.
Yeah, that's nice. Those are the special tees.
Special tees?
Yeah, I can't afford them on my own.
So. Really? You?
Apparently, tees are very expensive. I wasn't aware.
See, now I go to the...
Any nice club I go to in the Caddy Master, just grab a little handful.
I can take...
Come on. I don't need
caddies. You're not going to be shocked. I can take 20 minutes going through the big ball bin. Finding the knockoff golf balls, like the used golf balls.
Oh, I buy the used bags from like Target.
I have to pick them. I love picking.
Oh, really?
That's not surprising to me.
Find the logo. Find the brand that I want. But it's fun to fish through them and everything. And it's like, well, your game. You know, those don't really help your game. I'm like, you haven't seen my game. It doesn't matter to me.
There's only one I've ever run out of tees in my life.
No, nobody does.
If we're standing on a tee box and waiting, if there's tees that guys were stupid enough just to leave,
I'll pick them up sometimes. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But are they Mike's good tees?
They're not as good as Mike's tees, apparently.
Exactly.
Apparently,
so check that out. D wanted to get in with us. D, good morning. You're on the Fanatic. How are you, brother? D,
this is where you talk.
D waited on hold for all that. And D wanted to take us to task.
Yeah, are we being negative?
Hello.
I have no clue.
I didn't think so.
I have no clue. I just, you know, it's...
Projecting forward, like, I'll be honest, a regular season W or L at this point really doesn't do a lot
for me. When the Sixers don't care about the game, why, honestly...
But it's all about projecting to the playoffs, right?
Right.
So it's like, if they lost last night, I'm not in here with my non-existent hair on fire, just like I'm not, you know,
jumping over rainbows and pounding ice cream that they won. Like,
correct.
It's just, it's kind of meaningless.
When a franchise, when a franchise tells me that they don't, when a franchise tells me they don't care about the game, I'm out.
But I didn't think we were being negative.
No. It's
Maxey.
If it's sunshine and lollipops for people about this team right now and their chances and everything like that, that's fine.
I mean, Tyrese Maxey is one of the most positive stories
it's
going.
It's awesome. It's awesome to
see. That block last night.
I really find myself, when I focus in on him, because sometimes during a game I will, just to see what he's doing on both ends of the floor, I find myself smiling when I watch him.
Because you know he's smiling.
Well, he's always smiling.
But he plays with such, and it's not just the smile and the scorn, but it's like if he loses his guy on defense for a half a second, the way he sprints to get back to him. It's like watching a little kid just grow and grow and grow in the game of basketball. He's he is. Joyous is the perfect word for him on a basketball court.
He's absolutely amazing. I still want to get him and Pat to a movie. We're going to make that happen. He almost agreed to it last time.
Oh, what's he, a big Avenger guy?
He loves all
Marvel
those.
Guy. Yeah. Marvel guy.
So,
Marvel guy. Well, they got the new series coming out in a week or two.
Pat and Tyrese go to the movies.
Yeah, Morbius.
I think would be.
I thought it was Moon Knight.
No, that's coming in October.
Oh, I thought that said coming soon.
I think it's coming in October.
Soon?
I think it's coming in October.
It's only March.
The next one's coming is Morbius. Okay. With Jared Leto.
No, March 30th. Release date. Moon Knight. Boom.
Wow.
Oh, my.
The movie guy got roasted.
Wow. I thought you were a TV and movie guy.
I got to get on this.
Jeez. Pat, this is worse than your reply all.
I got to go.
All right.
It's a bad day for you.
Look, in 2023, the Phillies roster will clear some salary hurdles. I want to give you a few of the expiring contracts for the Phillies. Because it's a target. Didi Gregorius is $14.5 million comes off the books after this season.
Bye-bye.
Kyle Gibson, $7 million. He might stick around.
Yeah, we'll see.
I want him to stick around.
Now, as it seems to be the debated thing, Corey Knebel, $10 million contract.
That was the guy.
The Knebel.
After you stole Alec Bohm from me.
Yes.
He's a good answer for that.
But he was my guy because if he can solidify that closer position, like I'm really worried they go into the season closer by committee again, and I believe in solidified roles.
Zach Eflin, $6 million.
Yeah, that's a good contract.
Hand, $6 million.
That's a good contract.
Familia, $6 million.
That's,
Aaron Nola, there's a club option for $16 million next year.
That's an interesting one to watch.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting.
Aaron Nola is going to be talked about at the trade deadline if he is not pitching like a top two starter. There's got to be talk about
it. And
him
Ranger is? Yeah, he'll probably get moved.
I don't know. I almost put Ranger in there.
I can't yet. I want to.
I have really good expectations for him.
He was too good last year.
He really
there
was.
There has to be a reality check.
If I just go that if Ranger Suarez is my three,
it's a great situation.
I'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
And that might even be too high expectations
three,
right now.
I know, but if it was three, I'd love it.
No.
Yeah. After years of expecting Aaron Nola.
I mean, he had a better season than Kyle Gibson or Zach Eflin ever did, so moving them on up.
Well, these are just some of the names to think about as the season goes along, because when the trade deadline comes, maybe, like what if a D.D. Gregorius exceeds expectations?
I don't think Aaron Nola gets traded at the deadline.
I don't think so either.
If you're buying at the deadline and if the Phillies are buying at the deadline and they want to get a pitcher because Aaron Nola's not pitching well, who the hell is taking on Aaron Nola? Like, what seller is taking on Aaron Nola?
Could be. Or somebody thinks.
What, they can, like, at a reclamation project? Like, at that point.
No sport more than baseball thinks that.
But I agree with you. But at that point, your line of thinking of, like, that outlier, like, it holds way more weight.
Right.
Than Jamie's of, like, look at the stats, because at that point it's been, what, three straight seasons of, like, piss-poor play.
By the way, I'll blame Pat. The Phillies will be paying over the next 2 years Scott Kingery $15.3 million.
Yeah, all right.
What the hell was Clint thinking with that? I still don't understand.
By the way, where do you see all the club options that they have to buy out of, too? Where they have to give him money to not take the club options for $15 million, $17 million?
It's a drop in the bucket.
What a horrible, horrible.
Drop in the bucket.
All right, I want to throw a number out there.
Okay.
And it's going to go right between you and Jamie. Seven. Connors is seven. 345. You taking the over? Mr. Kincaid on Aaron Nola?
Yes.
Jamie, will you take the under?
I mean, as a gambler, no.
Will you take the bet of John has over 345 and you have under 345? John, will you go up to 350?
No, 345.
350, you got a deal. We got a burrito bet.
345 is the number.
What are you afraid of?
Because you said earlier, if he's going to pitch like a two, then he could be
like 325.
The number keeps up and up. This isn't the little Price is Right range game. Or the guy climbing up
well,
the mountain.
You got a deal at 350. 345, I don't know.
345, the numbers
going
keep
once,
moving on Aaron
going
Nola.
Twice.
We'll read
he
this
already
thing.
Agreed to over 345. It's going once, twice on you.
Yeah, 345
you.
Is
the number.
I'm telling you as a gambler, I don't like that.
You're the one playing without
okay.
honor.
But at 3-5, I can party.
Hey, let's find out if Jamie's going to be partying because this is the latest edition of the Draft Report.
It's the Draft Report with Jamie Lynch. Now, here's Jamie.
Here I am, guys. I'm here.
Here's Jamie.
Hi, James. Don't worry, I didn't miss my segment. This Draft Report is brought to you by North Penn Mazda. For the seventh year in a row, North Penn is a Mazda President's Award winner, an honor earned only by the top dealerships in the country. We were kind of riding the secondary cornerback coaster last week, so I'm going to stick with it again because I think it's a position of real need. There's a chance they maybe go back to a Steven Nelson veteran cornerback two type of role. We'll see, but I believe they're probably got eyes towards one in the draft. And today's profile is on Andrew Booth Jr., cornerback out of Clemson University. 6 foot, just shy of 200 pounds. It almost seems like every cornerback in this draft is 6 foot, just shy of 200 pounds. It's like the prototypical size
correct.
Right now. So he arrived at Clemson as a big-time five-star recruit, and he absolutely lived up to the hype while at Clemson. Scouts describe him with words like fiery competitor and an alpha mentality have been used to describe his play while at Clemson. He absolutely has the tools to be a high-level starter at the next level projected by almost every scout you read. He's an extremely versatile defender. They say he can fit in pretty much any scheme in the league. He can play nickel. He can play man very well. Zone, they said he needs to work on a couple things, but he has ball skills and instincts that most scouts love. He could play the slot if needed. If you went to a team, you know, like a San Diego Chargers that has two corners and wanted to just get greedy at the position, he could play a slot for somebody like that. They do say things he needs to improve on.
And this is where I'm always interested.
Yeah, I know you are. His zone coverage skills is one.
Okay, and I'm
fine with
that.
Which is something I think you can learn.
You can learn that.
Yeah, if you have the skills.
Especially if you have veterans that can help you.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
And more aggressive tackling. It's not that he's not a willing participant. It's that he tends to leave his feet a little early. Which means
I'm okay with that one too.
Yeah, it lends to some arm tackling, probably some broken tackles and whatnot. So if a guy's willing, I feel like you can always teach that.
Yes.
So you know those are the two biggest knocks against
that
him.
That wording is telling, though. I don't take either one of them as that vastly a negative.
No, I think they're very improvable areas.
Yes.
He's described by scouts as a sticky man coverage guy with fluid hips, quick feet. And good route anticipation.
Okay.
I mean, that's a pretty sexy sentence right?
Well, corner, you always have to have hips. They got to talk
about
the hips.
That's what they always talk about.
I got to tell you, I don't care if it's a great description. I am never describing someone as a scout as having
fluid hips. Oh, he's like Shakira.
Fluid hips?
He's the Shakira, the cornerback.
Okay, now, Jamie, projection. Give me a projection of, like, numbers. What are they talking
about? He's gone anywhere, again, it's so hard
it's
to project.
All over?
Yeah, he's gone anywhere from, like, 9 to 22. He's right there in the middle of where the Eagles are going to be picking.
I'm intrigued.
So I think he's a guy, if he's on the board, they're going to highly consider.
I'm intrigued.
They said his ball skills are way above average. He even played wide receiver and kick returner during his time at Clemson.
I remember that.
And, you know, he's an enthusiastic participant in the run game. Meaning he's not afraid to stick his head in there and get in there and tackle.
He played wide receiver in some of the playoff games that they played
yeah.
into, like occasionally, just a little trickery.
Decoy, yeah.
Trickery. And,
but he's,
you know,
they say
like
he's got
it.
The ball skills to actually
like it.
Play it. So
he can go up and get it, too.
Yeah. Andrew Booth Jr.
I'm in. I'm in.
He's going to be
depending.
Interesting.
Yes.
And this draft report, as always, brought to you by our friends at North Penn Mazda. It's the right experience and the right choice. And guess what? They have inventory, so get there.
Oh, they have cars.
Yeah,
isn't that a great thing about car dealerships right now? That
yeah.
they actually we have cars.
Yeah, good.
We've got some cars for you.
Yeah,
isn't that nice? Good job.
He's going to be a fun one. He's intriguing.
I'm intrigued by that one.
I think I like him more than McDuffie.
By the way, Moon nephew Billy checks in. He says Moon Knight is a Disney Plus movie.
Yeah, so it's a series. Yeah. That's why. I thought it was a movie. So,
but I said nerd alert.
It looks awesome. It has not been a good few days for me. I mean, this and then on top of it with the reply to all.
I'm not even like Marvel like fanatic, and I don't even know the story of Moon Knight outside of the trailer.
So he's a knight on the moon.
Yes. But this one looks awesome.
Olivia saw Batman for the second time in a matter of 8 days.
My son Bobby did the same thing.
They loved it.
I do want to go again.
She went with a different group of friends to go see Batman for the second time.
Isn't she popular?
Yeah. But the thing is, I don't understand. You go in the movie, you're not talking during the movie.
Yeah.
So why do you want to see it again?
Because...
Just meet your friends after.
It was an enjoyable
experience.
No, it was an enjoyable experience.
She said he's not enjoyable, though. Like, she said he did a really, really good job.
He's emo Batman.
She said he's not enjoyable.
The way he acts is if somebody, like, murdered his parents in front of him.
She said I don't have to have watched all of them either.
No.
You can walk into this movie not knowing a thing about it.
Yep.
And enjoy it.
There's one thing I do know about it that makes me not want to enjoy
that?
It. That's 2 hours and 45 minutes.
That's a whole basketball game Cooney could have watched. Well, that Sexy is, could have had, or
that
Beersy
is way too. Yeah, that's six innings of a Phillies game.
That's a lot.
I mean, that's
I thought it was enjoyable.
It's called edibles, Bob.
What do they sell them at the theater?
Yeah, it'll. Two hours, 45 minutes, I'll blow by.
You'll actually think the Joker's in the row with you?
What's her name? Zoe Kravitz?
Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah, if she's in the row with me,
Is she the Catwoman?
Yeah.
Really?
She's not tough
Spoiler
to look
alert.
At.
She's no.
Is that What's-His-Face's daughter?
You betcha.
And who's he more what's-his? The girl?
The what? The mother?
Who's he what's-his?
Crosby?
Sidney Crosby?
Sidney. Steven
it's
Still?
It's the kid of Lenny Kravitz and Sidney Crosby?
It's a famous mom, isn't it?
Yeah, what's her face?
Look it up.
From the Cosby Show.
Lisa Bonet.
You're thinking of Aquaman.
No, it's Lisa Bonet is the mom.
Yeah, Lisa Bonet and Lenny Kravitz.
Now she's married to Aquaman.
I heard they're... There's no way they're back.
You're thinking of the dude.
No, I'm thinking of Momoa.
And this is the People magazine portion of
the... Is it Momoa?
Yeah, no, you know who's back together is Ben Stiller and what's-her-face, Christine.
Oh, from Hey Dude.
Yeah. Yeah, they're back together.
Nice.
I did see that. Christine Taylor.
I saw Kit Hoover.
Yeah, she's hot.
I saw Kit Hoover and... I always say Emilio Estevez. But what's the guy Slater?
Mario Lopez.
Kit Hoover and Mario Lopez have this show where they talk about stuff, and they had two pictures.
It's called Breaking Bad.
Of Momoa and Lisa Bonet being together eating out.
Well, okay,
they're signing the papers.
Yeah, that just means that they needed to get a
meal.
Wait
a minute, what couple do you know getting divorced where they go and go, like, okay, let's go get something to eat and sit across the table from each other?
The ones that need to be seen out in public.
By the way, you like Kit Hoover?
I have no idea what that is.
You don't know Kit Hoover?
He was a Real Worlder.
Real Worlder or Road Rules. Was it Real World or Road Rules?
One of the
Kit or Kit?
I was a huge fan of Road Rules.
You would know Kit Hoover. That's her today. Kit Hoover. She does the show with Mario Lopez. It's like an extra. Mm. It's like extra
she
or something
like
that.
She's a very pleasant woman.
She is a pleasant woman. She will be. She's getting honored. I'm laughing because she's getting honored at Olivia's graduation. She's a graduate of the school. So she is getting. She's coming back and is a like one of the honored grads.
Well, tell her we all said hello.
Hi, Kit.
We say Kit.
We love you, Kit. Bob wants to take a look into depth. Like this show is such great depth. Where else do you hear about who the celebrities are dating with such accuracy?
How do you like that? How about me being on my People magazine?
Do you guys get people? You get people?
No.
My mom has a routine with People and Us Weekly. She reads certain ones on certain days. So my house growing up always had the People.
Wait a minute.
So it's great toilet.
Eileen Lynch
has one that she reads on one day and one that she reads on another.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole routine. It's like Tuesday's People Day and Thursday's Us Weekly.
But what are you reading in one of those magazines?
I just look at the pictures.
Aren't you just looking at the pictures?
Stars! They're just like us.
Same thing in my house.
Oh my God, getting coffee in New York. Imagine that.
Seriously, what?
No, people legitimately has like pretty decent articles.
Yeah, they do have.
Your mom is a healthcare professional.
Yeah.
She's an accomplished woman.
She's a lovely woman.
And she cares like, oh, this celebrity's having coffee with...
Oh, loves it.
Really?
We all have our guilty pleasure.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. I would
never have expected
she'll
that.
She'll probably text me in a little while to let me know about Jason Momoa.
What about your wild aunt, the cool aunt that I run?
Aunt Weezy.
Oh, Weezy's the best.
She's not into that
Weezy's
as much.
Not
yeah,
into
she's
that.
Just into the hard
not
liquor.
Doing that. All right, but what about the depth? Did you see? I mean, last night showed a little bit, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, is it fool's gold, as one of the former coaches here used to say all the time about things? Is it fool's gold what we saw last night, or could it be, I don't know, a preview of what's to come? Is Doc Rivers going to look at this seem-to-be depthless team and maybe try to corral something before these playoffs start? You just can't do it, Doc.
It's a good time to start, right?
You can't go into these playoffs with just George Niang. It can't happen. And you can't put Danny Green out there for 24 minutes. So as much as we've seen it before and as much as we all roll our eyes at it, and I'm right there with everybody, more so on Furkan Korkmaz than I am on Shake, you're going to have to give these guys auditions here for the rest of the year. You have to. You cannot go into a playoff series with George Niang and DeAndre Jordan being your two bench guys.
You know what would have been a great time to trot out last night? Charles Bassey and or Paul Reed.
I agree.
What the hell is that?
Connor and I were talking about it before, you know, we had beers with Bob last night, and I thought for sure we would see. I thought B-Ball Paul would have started.
Yeah, I don't need 48 minutes of DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, I thought for sure he was starting.
Millsap looked okay, considering.
No. He did.
But I don't need to see DeAndre Jordan anymore.
DeAndre Jordan. And that's a Doc Rivers move.
Yeah.
Doc Rivers.
Look, I didn't mind it. I'll admit it. I didn't mind it at the time because I thought, okay, look, you have a second unit that can't score all that well. Okay, he can play a little bit of defense. You have a second unit that can't give up second and third shots if they're going to stay even with the other team's second unit, and he can rebound.
I like how Ala has pointed out on the broadcast, the man can't dunk.
No, he can't.
Who can't dunk? DeAndre Jordan?
He can't really jump anymore.
He can't jump anymore. He doesn't dunk. He's right. I mean, you can.
He's got a few lobs from Harden.
It's like you got to get off the ground. It's like they can't put an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper under his feet.
And he got the offensive
goal. Two centers like that now.
This is too much. All right, we have plenty to come your way in the second half of the show. Fanatic Listener of the Day gets announced at 8:10. Plus, Bob will have the third clue. Put all the clues together, call us after 9:30, and you would qualify to take part in the biggest sports radio game show that has ever hit this town. Stick around with us. There's still another half to go. It's the John Kincaid Show. We'll make our adjustments here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I love the Bet Parks app. I love the new Bet Parks app. I've been telling you to use the Parks Casino and Sportsbook app for a while. But go to betparks.com if you're in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Download the app. You're going to love this thing. It is the sportsbook and casino app in one, and the only one that I recommend to you. So it's got such easy flexibility. You can move from the casino to the sports book. It's fun to play. You will love it. All the functionality you're looking for, PayPal connectivity, you will love it. Sportsbook and casino in one. And you're going to love the newly designed app, and you're going to love some of the bonuses that come your way. Last night, how about a plus 450 if you had bet Maxi to score 20 in a win? Bet Parks is constantly throwing you little Easter eggs like that. It's great. Go to the new Bet Parks app. You can use promo code Kincaid, too, to get your risk-free bet up to $750 for new customers. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
8 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show. Second half starts. Brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Has Connor left the studio yet? I just found his name. Connor, get to the microphone just so I can speak to you. Connor is going to be, I understand, is going to be in for Jen Scordo tomorrow afternoon when the Mike Missinelli Show. Mike and Tyrone will be up at the Hooters in King of Prussia.
But here's the thing, no TV, so...
No, there's no TV.
Not tomorrow.
Ah. But you can go on out, good reason to go out and see Mike and Tyrone and Connor Thomas is going to be in for Jen Scorto. You're going to be in a Hooters. How much, Connor, for you to wear a Hooters girl outfit?
How much?
Seriously.
Name your price. I have a price for just about everything.
To wear the shorts.
Dude, you're already wearing short shorts.
You already wear short shorts. You wear shorts as short as Hooters girls wear them.
It's not that much different.
You give me $100 and
$100, yeah. Connor will wear a Hooters girl outfit tomorrow.
$20
will
a
you
person?
Do the show? No, I'll put up the whole hundy. If he'll do the show in a Hooters girl costume, $100, I got it.
I'll pay you $101 not to.
Take that offer. Just said it. There you go.
All right.
I think.
Why would you want him to wear a Hooters girl?
Because it would be a spectacle.
It's a spectacle already.
But
101 committed to not doing it. Appreciate it. That's how you make money, folks.
Connor, I just made you the 100.
Congratulations on your success.
I just made you 101. I made you the 101 there yesterday.
Venmo him, Bob.
Hey, our 8 a.m. sponsor, Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Basketball and sex. That's his Venmo. That's Bob's that's Bob's Venmo. Just basketball and sex.
It's also his memoir. So,
do we get to write like the foreword to it? Or Rock? Well, Rock will get
Rock
to do
gets
that.
That honor.
Rock gets
or
to
Tim.
That.
I first had sex with Bob Cooney.
Do we get to have the review? Do we get to post one of the reviews on like the back thing of it, like this, it drove me to tears. It made me laugh. It made me cry.
It hit all the emotions.
Very uncomfortable right
now. Bob Cooney
watching
memoir.
This new Lakers show. Dr. Buss basically equates basketball to like sex in the first couple episodes.
Really,
it's basically the Bob Cooney story.
I have not
and
seen
I thought
it.
The same thing, James.
Right?
Watching it, yep.
Have you watched?
I haven't seen it at all yet.
Winning, what's a winning time?
Winning time. Yeah. It's great. I love it.
No, you say great.
I mean.
I think it's really good.
It's not up there with like a Breaking Bad or a Sopranos or something like that, but in terms of a sports story and the lens it's shot through, like that early 80s foggy LA, it's cool.
Okay, let me just ask you this stupid, I ran it by Bob earlier.
And I'm learning stuff.
Stupid argument with a friend yesterday. Do you, and just answer, it's a yes or no answer. Do you hate Wendy Bird?
No.
On Ozark?
Not at all.
Yes or no? Do you hate her?
Yes.
Really? Yes. I hate her. I hate her
She's
face.
She's a badass bitch, man.
I hate her face. I hate her.
So I went on a buddy's
show. She's great. By the way, that's great. That means
she's really,
Laura Linney.
Laura Linney.
That means it's the
she's
job.
A great actress.
It's the job that she's done.
She's really great.
She's taken that part and just
from
the beginning of the show to what she becomes.
I don't think I'm watching Laura Linney anymore.
Yeah, she's spectacular in that role.
I hate
her character.
Yeah, I don't.
Despicable.
I went on a buddy's podcast because the podcast features like movies and TV shows, and he asked me, "Who do you rank your hate?" And it was Wendy Bird, and then it was Skylar White.
Oh, Skylar's worse.
I disagree. I don't hate both of them. Neither of them.
I don't hate either one of them. I hate them both.
I think we all would have had the same reaction that Skylar White had if you found out your significant other was becoming a drug kingpin. It's hard to buy into the. Well, they're doing it for me. That's despicable behavior. So
when Christina has to move the whole operation from Atlanta,
it's going
to
be tough.
Up to the suburbs, up here, it's going to be tough for us relocating the business. And I hope the Navarros are fine with it.
She's good with like hiding it in the tire wells, and she's smart about it.
She's Jamaican.
Yeah.
She knows all the tire wells.
Jamie's got a history that we don't know about.
She knows all kind of that stuff. So that's why the dog walks along the side of your car. Tire wells. You got to watch that. Yeah.
They call Jamie El Joppo.
Hey, Sixers win last night, 113-106 without Embiid and Harden. And the give up lineup. And they ended up being a winner. It ended up being a winner last night. And so now you got 11 games to go for the Sixers as they wind towards the playoffs. I wish to say that they were building some sort of crescendo towards the playoffs where, like, you want to be on a momentum, you're playing your best ball, everything like that. Nobody can say that about this team.
Not yet. No.
There's only 11 games left, Bob.
Yeah, I mean.
2.5 weeks. There's 2.5 weeks left.
Yeah, what if? I don't know, Shake Milton and Furkan Korkmaz go on some kind of a roll where for 6 straight games or maybe over these last 11, it's like, wow,
they've really given that second unit an infusion. And then you go into the playoffs thinking that, what if the offense gets back to, after a little bit of rest, Joel Embiid and James Harden are scoring 125 points a game again? No, they're not there. And I nitpick everything.
Sure, right.
But, yeah, they're not there yet. Can they get there? I don't know, maybe. That's why these last 11 games are kind of fun to figure it out, I think.
That's why I want to see them get into some sort of a rhythm, and it's not, night off type stuff down the stretch.
If I'm Doc, my takeaway from last night was I need Shake Milton to play at least 16 minutes a game. I can't yo-yo him anymore. I have to see in these final 11, can you contribute in the playoffs? Look, it's fourth year in the league now. It's about time where he needs to be a contributor or he's not. And at that point, you need to decide if he's going to be on your roster or not. Because if he can't give you that, I don't really see his role here.
He had some moments last year in the Hawks series.
Yeah.
And in the Nets series.
And the year before that, in the bubble, when he was thrust into the point guard job. I thought he did a pretty good job, yeah, considering. And so I've liked him. I just don't know what's happened this year.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that role where... And it's been described to me so many times. It's a non-thinking role. Dude, go in there and be unconscious and score. Seriously, don't even think about it. Just go in there and score. That's the role Jamal Crawford has, sure. Williams had, a lot of people under Doc Rivers. And that's what you want a guy to do. Don't think about it. It's a great, great role to be given if you can embrace it. And for some reason, Shake Milton just hasn't been able to embrace it.
Shake and Korkmaz, Pat regression. I mean, I look at both those guys, and the word regression comes to mind.
And it's understandable why.
I don't understand it with Korkmaz.
Korkmaz is weird in the sense of, I don't get it either. I can't put my finger on it. I mean, this is a guy who I truly think earned his contract. You know, he had a decent year.
Yes, I think he did.
And now it looks horrible. And it's not even that for that much money. It just looks bad because he's playing horribly. He never really became that three-point sniper that they kind of expected. Shake, I try to remind myself, this is a second-round pick. And it's a second-round pick that we probably overhyped in this city because...
Shake-isms.
Yeah.
Some show did that.
Yeah, it was just, they were all shaked up.
I was on vacation, I have no idea what happened.
But, shake, rattle, and roll.
But, like, we do. We have an affinity, and I think it's a little bit of the process because of it. We have an affinity for finding that diamond in the rough. He was that second-round pick that we hoped would mature into really what Maxey's become. Never really happened, but he struggled even to become a solid bench piece.
Hey, the New Jersey Transit Police Department reminds you that we all need to work together to keep our transit system safe. Report suspicious activity to 888-TIPS-NJT or text your report to NJTPD. Want to thank our...
Not bad.
I don't know. I've only messed it up the one day, but every time I read it,
you take your time.
Sweat. It's like a cold sweat.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the way that thing's written. Hey, we want to call out our Fanatic listener of the day, Francisco Cruz. Thank you very, very much.
What do you say, Francisco?
Now, you said Frankie.
Francisco
Cruz, we appreciate you very much. Thank you for listening to the Fanatic. You are greatly appreciated. So yesterday, I lean on the Colts insider. And I said, tell me about Zach Pascal.
I can't believe we have to say force Pascal.
Well, yeah, I'm not. Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not
you're
doing it.
You're going to call Pascal like Rascal?
I'm going to call him Pascal. Yeah.
Pascal like Rascal?
I don't think he's Pascal good enough to put the stank on it. So okay. I'm calling him Pascal.
Well, let me put it this way. You want the positives that I was told? The positives I was told is incredibly hard worker, good guy to have around your locker room, student of the game, a guy who potentially could be seen as a position coach in the NFL or whatever moving forward.
I love that.
Okay, so he's, by the way, he's still active.
Well, yeah.
And that's what
our guy's 27
about.
Years old trying to carve a niche for himself in the NFL, and people are talking, yeah, but he's going to be a good coach. He's 27.
And I was told Nick Sirianni's teacher's pet. That he is a guy who, him and Sirianni, it is as close as it was sort of described. That like he's a student of the game, and he loves ball.
Well, that's good.
Loves ball.
They put a basketball net up in the auditorium at the NovaCare.
Well, now they even shoot some hoops with coach.
Yeah,
he coaches sort of like Shadow.
How long before two players get injured playing basketball?
Don't even start.
That was my first thought.
That's exactly what I thought too.
There's rows of chairs there. It's just a weird place for a hoop.
You know it's going to be a clown. Like it'll be keep people clowning around.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be people are going to go in and clown around. And I'm waiting to see someone flip over a chair.
Well, I think they're anchored down in there.
It's like you can flip over one.
Oh, you can flip over.
That's
one.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought you meant like flip a chair and
two
anchor.
Two people
like,
clowning around and you flip over and we have somebody with a broken ankle.
I was surprised that one got approved.
But he loves balls. He just loves competing.
Well, that's great. So what are the negatives? Those are all positives, right?
But no, the negative is that and I'll take it right from Indianapolis Star that if he had not gone to Philadelphia, that there was an option to potentially go back to Indianapolis. He was not finding a market. There was no people saying, "Man, well, okay, let's see if we can get it like a little bidding war." There was no bidding war.
No.
They went and got the guy that they knew was available. I think that the attributes he brings to the table tell me, Bob, that I can understand why Nick Sirianni would want a guy like that in his locker room.
Look, you might get the best out of him when he's comfortable like that. He's with the coach that he really likes, and the coach really likes him. And if you're looking for perfect situations, go to the coach that you perform best under. And it appears it was Nick Sirianni for this guy's career. So I just look at it as a depth piece more than I really. Even now, when they signed him yesterday and looking up everything like we did before, and Jamie had mentioned him before, to today, I really do just look at him as a depth piece. I'm not counting on him for much. I think something more is coming.
All right, then that's the key. That's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
So right now, if you were to guess depth chart going into training camp, Devontae Smith 1.
Yes.
Who's 2?
Draft pick.
Okay, who's 3?
Quez.
Who's 4?
Probably Pascal.
It's a battle among Pascal.
If he's 3, do you give him the stink on his name?
I guess.
You'll go, if he's 3, you must, if he's the third receiver, because you don't call Quez Watkins, Quez Watkins.
No, but, Quez isn't demanding that I call him Quez Watkins.
I don't think there's any demands being made. It's what the guy's name is.
If you're productive, then I'll put the stank on your name.
Okay.
Just because you're the third wide receiver doesn't mean you're good. This has been a bad group for a while now, so.
But Bob goes, the 2 entering training camp is going to be a draft pick.
Unless, and Jamie, you know better than I, there's not another veteran free agent wide receiver out there right now.
Unless you go one of the names. They've got money to do it, though.
But who? I don't know who, and I'm being honest, I don't know who. I thought pretty much everybody's gobbled up.
You know,
there's no name that pops in my head.
Yesterday, Odell's still out there.
The same guy who told us on Friday that the Eagles were in on Robert Woods and were pursuing him says they have been kicking the tires on Jarvis Landry.
You know, but if you
got Jarvis Landry, then I got no problem with this at all.
Yeah, I
don't want to draft another wide receiver.
Yeah, but if you draft another wide receiver high in the first round. Then, you know, we keep saying with Pascal, he's better than Jalen Reagor, right? Like, think even where he's better than J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. He's better than him as a receiver, and he's probably better than him as a blocker. But also, everything that you talked about with the intangibles of him, of being a good guy in the locker room, being a future coach, wouldn't you want that in your wide receiver room if you're going to draft a wide receiver in the first round?
No, and
you want that veteran presence to teach him the ropes and how to actually be a pro. So in that way, it's kind of a cheaper option as another coach.
Okay, that's not bad. And he can also talk Sirianni.
Yeah.
He can. He knows what he wants. He knows how
Sirianni
to
speak.
To
he's got right. it down.
He's got it down.
He's fluent.
So they're probably all in the room going right now, we love Villanova. We're all big Villanova guys.
Yeah. Go Cat. Put your knees up.
And then they can put their Flyers hats on when they leave. Mm-hmm. So he's learned all that.
There are some names. You're Flyers being facetious.
Hats. They're not putting on Flyers hats. All right, let's just get that clear.
Oh, no. Nick Sirianni, they're a huge Flyer fan now. And
yeah, until he saw the standings.
You know, the other day he loved Delaware too, but he was rooting for Villanova.
Yeah, some of the other names out there. There are some decent names out there. Julio Jones is now available.
No!
Juice Landry,
no!
who
no!
we just talked about.
No.
There's Will Fuller, the Roman Catholic kid, who he's been hurt a lot. He had a PED suspension last year.
Hurt a lot, didn't he?
Yeah, a decent
he's
amount.
He's always hurt.
And then there's, who the hell's the other one I just brain farted on?
Will Fuller will get hurt signing the contract.
There's Odell. So those are the big 4 names.
Don't even bring up.
I just don't think a lot of them make sense.
Yeah, out of
here.
All those, I'd rather go draft pick, honestly.
Probably.
Don't bring up Julio Jones. For God's sakes.
I wonder if he goes to Indy, reunites with Matty Ice. I'm Indy. That's
I'll
not
speak,
bad.
I'll speak out of turn. I don't believe Matt Ryan would be...
Would welcome him?
I don't think Matt Ryan would be pounding his fist on the table saying, hey, go get Julio Jones. Huh. Julio doesn't practice.
Yeah.
Ever. He is a country club player. He doesn't practice. There's always something that Julio can't practice. He just wants to play games. Just wants to play the games. No, no, no. And you don't need him here under any circumstances.
And there's Valdez. Scantling is still available. It's pretty bad after that, yeah.
Jamie thinks that the Phillies may have been pushed a little bit.
I do. You know, it's funny. You talk. I think all the teams realize that there's a finite amount of entertainment dollars out there between the Eagles, the Sixers, the Phillies, and the Flyers. I think all the teams are pretty fortunate that the Flyers fell off of that cliff. But if you're the Phillies, and I do think this influenced their decision to go into the tax, if you just saw what James Harden did to the city, and all of a sudden he's number one in jersey sales, you're walking around, all anybody's talking about is the Sixers. The Eagles, there was a ton of buzz, what they could do. It's just the Eagles. They're always going to be there. I do think the Phillies were pushed to a degree because of the success of the other two teams. And that's a great thing. Like, you saw Boston in that early 2000s. It was almost like success breeding success.
Like an arms race.
Yeah. You know, I think there's a healthy competition between the teams. And I think the Phillies, if you're John Middleton in the Bucks and you're sitting there going, oh, man, all right, the Sixers are going to have people's attentions through, like, late June. And then next thing you know, it's training camp. Like, we have to fight to get our attention here. So I do think the Eagles and the Sixers pushed the Phillies into the luxury tax.
I like that.
And I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And, I think that I said this before about Howie Roseman, and I don't know if I really believe it, but I'm starting to wonder. I think their ears are open to the public a little bit more now, too. I really do. I think, the want of the city is a big thing. It's pleasing the city, the fans of the city. It is a big thing. It could go to putting more seats, fans in the seats.
Which they need to do.
Yeah, at Phillies games, whatever. But Howie Roseman so far this offseason and going into this draft has pretty much done everything that this fan base has asked for. Keep the draft picks. Don't go crazy. If you can't get a quarterback, keep Jalen Hurts. Move on with him. Try to get this. Try to get that.
Exactly.
Get an edge rusher. He's. It's almost like we're being heard. I think this microphone works, John. They're listening.
They hired somebody from the Tampa Bay Rays.
Exactly.
I've been screaming that for a decade.
Right?
Jeez.
Okay, you're feeling good about it then.
I like the direction.
And they hired a Mattingly.
Who's highly regarded, and they brought in Kevin Long, and I like everything Dave Dombrowski has done to date.
Yeah.
I really do.
All right, and let's carry further. How would you grade Howie Roseman for this offseason also? Have you liked everything he's pretty much done?
I'm giving Howie Roseman a solid B.
He hasn't done anything I hated. No, I'm going to put it that way.
Solid B.
I can't go north of a B. But
solid B.
I would have preferred a veteran wide receiver of some.
I would too.
Of some weight to it.
I don't want a second young wide receiver.
Yes.
I do not want to go
they
into
can
the year.
Grow. Top two. They're going to be together for 10 years. Are you kidding me? It's going to be the Evan Turner and Drew Holiday backcourt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, never mind.
Are they going to be together with Jalen Hurts as their quarterback?
Probably not.
I mean, that's the kind of thing. All right, I gave you a number, too, Jamie. I wrote it down. I wanted to get you on this one because it's an all of you. 2019, the Phillies were 10th in Major League Baseball attendance.
2019. So 2019. That's Harper's first year?
Harper's first year.
Okay.
2019. They drew $2.7 million, and they were 10th in Major League Baseball, and the $2.7 million is an extremely respectable number. Do you believe they will outdraw, if I gave you $2.7 million right now?
Yes.
They're outdrawing that with this team?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
So this team's going to be like close to $3 million more?
Yeah, probably. Because okay. I think there's a sense of returning to normalcy.
I hope so.
With everyone out there. Like, my wife and I went out Friday to try and watch the game and go to this outside patio by us. We couldn't even get in the parking lot. It was packed to the gills. So I think people are glad
to be out.
Yeah, I think people are wanting to get back out there again. So I think it'll have an effect on
them. In 2018, the Phillies were 17th in baseball in attendance. Then they signed Harper and went to 10th. They were 10th.
So look at that jump.
So I'm looking at, with what they've spent, they now should be able to be in the top six or seven. You tend to believe they can make a jump to maybe top six or seven.
Yeah, I think so. I think the excitement of this team will, and they need a big start.
I think
now,
people are feeling it.
To give the people your numbers a little bit better. So in 19, when they drew 2.7 million, I'm sorry, that's about 33,000 a game.
Yes.
That's a solid number.
That's a really solid number.
I want to say close to 45, like 44.
Right, yeah, I could see that if this team is as advertised early. Now, you're going to get your early sellouts because it's, you know, new season and
stuff
like that.
Sure, Sunday games will typically sell out.
But if this team starts to throw up like six, seven runs a game and you're getting what you think you
Summer will be packed.
Woo!
That'll be good.
Yeah, it's going to be the place to go.
All right. Bob, you have another clue for us. It's clue number three. It is our NFL draft trip giveaway from phillysportstrips.com. You're going to win two trips for you and a friend to go on out to Vegas with us, nonstop flight, three nights stay at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino, and passes to two all-inclusive draft parties. You're going to participate in a game show. You'll be one of the 10 contestants if you can put Bob's four clues together and come up with the memorable moment from the John Kincaid Show. Bring it through clue number three.
Bake.
Bake. There it is.
Bake.
Be listening. Be listening. And then at 9:30, put all the clues together and you will have your opportunity to be able to qualify to be the second contestant in the largest game show that's ever been heard on Philly Sports Radio. I'm just saying it.
Well, I've seen a lot of claims out there these days that just aren't true.
I've seen claims that are completely false.
So why not?
Completely false.
Let's just say we're
I'm
going to
believe John.
Show.
I think he's right.
And by the way, if I tweet that out, I bet you people will be able to see it. I bet you everyone will be able to see it. I don't think it'll be.
What, are you being censored?
I don't know. I hope not. Hey, coming up, season ticket holders are under siege. And if you don't think it's going to happen here, I got news for you. Might be coming. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. Your lawn needs help. Your lawn needs help of professionals. You want it to be a great lawn this summer. Everyone's going to be out and about again. Choose Natural Lawn of America. They're my lawn care company, and they've been creating green lawns quickly and more naturally and with fewer weeds since 1987. And they do not take a cookie-cutter lawn care approach. They tailor their applications to your lawn's specific needs, which means they reduce pesticide use by 85%, meaning it's safer for you and for Nikki Foles in our backyard to be able to hang out. It's awesome. They're a family-owned and operated business right here in the Delaware Valley. Stop compromising safety and the look of your lawn by going with one of those other companies. Choose Natural Lawn of America. Their full service program is awesome. If you schedule it right now, you're going to get free seeding every year. That's a great deal. Call 800-FREE-SEED. You're going to get free seeding every year with their full service program. Call 800-FREE-SEED, F-R-E-E-S-E-E-D. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. They're going to give you greener grass and fewer weeds, and it's guaranteed.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Our own Devon Gibbons will join us coming up with his three-pointer on last night's Sixer victory, the unlikely Sixer victory over the Miami Heat. We'll have more of that coming your way. Martin Law is Philly's original law firm for injured workers. You can schedule a free consultation today at paworkinjury.com. We appreciate it. Flyers and the Red Wings tonight, 7:30 on the Fanatic.
The new look Flyers, John. New look Flyers.
What? Because
you're not going to recognize. Who's wearing the C, Patty?
Nobody.
They're going to go, how can a room not have a captain in hockey? Are you kidding me? How are the boys going to react?
Did they give an extra A out?
Yeah, it's usually four A's. A lot of teams are doing it now. Columbus did it for like four seasons. So, and honestly, nobody in that room really deserves it. Your boy Rock is going to love this, but probably Couturier will be the next captain. mainly because
for
he's
the
been
next
there.
8 years,
he's been there a while. But his contract, yes,
can't get somebody to take that contract.
They like Scott Laughton, but at this point, you know, who really cares?
Just let it go.
Like with the captaincy, like that's the last thing that this team really needs to worry about.
I think it's the first, man. You got to have that leadership in the room. It's vital in hockey. Well, I've heard it for years.
They lost it yesterday with the deadline. I know you guys are shedding tears for Derek Brassard and Justin Braun, but say goodbye. They're out.
Well,
I know.
It's a sad day.
It's a sad day for all of Philadelphia when you lose a veteran like Derek Brassard.
How do you know that the Commanders fans, the Washington Commanders fans, are in denial? Complete denial?
They're in a bad place right now.
But how do you know that they're in complete denial?
Are they starting in the Wentz Kool-Aid?
Oh, gosh, they are. The junkies do a great morning show in Washington, one of the longest running sports radio shows in our entire industry. Junks Radio is huge morning show down in Washington. Their poll question of the day: who would you rather have a quarterback, Carson Wentz or Matt Ryan? And Carson Wentz is doubling Matt Ryan.
Ugh.
Like I can't imagine the depth of just desperation that you actually believe that.
I was there once.
Matt Ryan has been better. They're not. You're. Oh my God. It's just. That's such a bad take.
I can't really rip them too much, as Jamie said. I've been there. Like, I convinced myself every year that this would be the year Ben Simmons took like a jump shot.
First person I thought of.
And we already did the Aaron Nola segment where you guys are all.
Yes, because we're the one who's
drawn
Aaron
back
Nola's
to that.
Ace.
Getting drawn or, back into
or,
that.
Or was that you? Do you want me to hit the drop again?
Well, that was. Aaron Nola is an ace.
By the way, the
man who paid for me to say that, Jonathan Rosenau, the baby came. Brooks.
What do you say, Brooksy?
Brooks Joseph Rosenau. Good job, Brooks.
What do you think of when you hear the name Brooks?
Brooks Robinson. Kepka. Brooks Robinson.
Oh, I think of Shawshank.
Oh, okay.
Oh, very okay. good. We also have another baby.
And that's the big one to tee off for you right there.
Go ahead.
It is CVS has arrived. CVS is in the house now.
I didn't see the middle name.
Vincent.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Okay, I didn't see the middle name.
So now there is a Cooper Vincent Salchunas.
Yeah, way to go, Andy and Christy.
CVS.
Yeah, I told him if
that's awesome.
If he becomes a street baller, it's a great N1 name.
Oh, absolutely.
The pharmacist.
He could be the pharmacist.
Look at you.
He could very well be. Congratulations.
CVS is a Hall of Famer. 610.
Congratulations to the Salchunas family.
Yeah, his life will never be the same.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
And little guy came a little early, so we'll be in the hospital for a little while. And
couldn't wait to get here. Mom is doing well, according to text reports yesterday.
Baby truly loves ball because Cooper wanted to get here for the stretch run of the playoffs for the Sixers.
Yeah.
And I respect the hell out of that. I respect that baby.
Love it. He wanted to
baby,
be here
baby
for
Baby
it.
Didn't want to be locked in solitary confinement. Baby wanted to break out, watch some Sixers basketball.
Well, Uncle Anthony had said to him, it's spring. We got a spring. So there it is. So now you got a spring. Cooper, welcome
That's
to the...
That's huge. That's like Sixers huge.
Welcome to the Fanatic. We love you. Hey, season ticket holders are under siege. I wanted to just bring this story to the table. First professional sports team to do this. The Buccaneers are requiring their fans to purchase season tickets for 2022 and 2023.
Ew.
Because they're afraid Tom Brady's going to retire. And they think everybody's just coming back buying tickets because Tom Brady's back for a year.
Newsflash, they probably are.
They are requiring season ticket holders to commit to 2 years.
I'm out.
Now, this isn't PSL people. Because PSL people already commit to this
right.
because of it. If you want to buy season tickets, and they need season ticket holders down there.
I have a buddy who's a season ticket holder.
They're making you buy 2 years.
And he lives here.
Really?
And he flies down. Yeah, Bubba Kemp.
Bubba Kemp!
What do you say, Bubba?
Congratulations on your success, Bubba.
Seriously, Bubba.
But he basically said, like, it's actually cheaper than you think. He basically flies down. He gets a hotel room for a night for home games. He usually uses about 80%. But I'm going to hit him up to see if he's going to buy.
He
for
has
2 years.
To buy for 2 years.
But he's had him for a while.
You got to buy season tickets for 2022 and 2023.
That's trash. Now, I would say, all right, sign Tom Brady for 2 years
now,
and I'm in.
No other team in the NFL is requiring that, by the way. Then there are rumors, and I'm saying rumors with a capital R, that you're going to see a Philadelphia sports franchise that after this season is going to crack down on people selling their season tickets on the secondary market. I'm hearing some really strong rumblings that this is going to be a story we're going to deal with on the show.
Well, then they should stop doing business with the secondary market clients, right?
I would say that would probably be don't take advertising money from them.
Well, yeah.
Don't partner with them or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Like,
but what they're saying is that crack down on people. There are people who want Sixers tickets who can't get them. People who want Flyers tickets. People who want Eagles tickets.
Whoa, whoa, nobody wants Flyers.
Yeah, I know. Hold on.
Let me just cut you off right there. And okay. If they do want them, they're easily available.
I'm just giving you all the names because that way I can just say all the names. That people are in would love to have the tickets, and you've got people, and they can track them and say, okay, these season tickets are on StubHub or whatever every single game. They're not being ever used. So they're going to set a barrier of how many times the tickets have been used and how many times they've shown up on the secondary market and they're tracking, and they are going to actually revoke people's season tickets.
This
I am telling you,
that's ridiculous.
I am telling you, I have every confidence that this is going to happen, that this is going to be a story that we are talking about, that this is coming.
So if I committed to a Phillies season ticket plan, and I'm just using them as an example, they're not the team.
And you put 81
games.
And you put a percentage. Like, let's say you put 75 games on the secondary market, they're going to revoke your season ticket.
What if I put 20%?
They'll have that'd be fine.
So I can tell you
they wouldn't have a problem with that. That's not going to be a problem. It is a threshold. By the way, this has been done in other markets. And it's been done in college sports a lot.
Chicago Cubs did it. The Sixers have done it, by the way. They've been doing it.
And the Sixers are doing it.
But there is a risk in buying those season tickets. Like, the team could go to absolute crap, and they could trade Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber. And then all of a sudden, you're stuck with tickets that nobody wants. So there is a risk in buying those season tickets to sell on the secondary market.
Yeah, but it's one year. But the thing is, though, it shouldn't be. I actually hate that I agree with this policy, but I do.
I don't.
I do. I think there's, as long as the threshold is high enough, if you buy a season ticket, let's say it's Sixers, you have 41 home games, and you tell me that you're putting 30 games plus on the secondary market, you're selling 30 plus games, you're doing it. You're trying to compete with the Sixers ticket office. You're trying to have your own side business on their product. I have no problem with them saying you're out.
And as soon as the Sixers suck, you know what they're going to do? They're gonna be
and they might have to. By the way, they track every franchise in town. I've been instructed can track the amount of time that their season ticket holders are putting things on secondary market.
But like people that had Sixers tickets this year had a tough time selling them. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
In the beginning of the year, people that had season tickets that were trying to sell tickets on StubHub and were having a tough time.
With no Simmons.
It's not even that.
They were second in attendance.
It's not even that. So,
people on the secondary market were saying they were having a tough time selling tickets.
Yeah, well, in attendance. I can't believe it.
It's the deal with Ticketmaster. Because I've had trouble selling like weekday games. Because with the deal with StubHub that they had, all your tickets were right there. Now, that seller is putting their tickets on StubHub and Ticketmaster and seeing which one sells
quicker. Oh, okay.
And the market is flooded with tickets, so it's bringing the cost down. And also with StubHub, the Sixers had that agreement with it, so the lowest ticket price was what the Sixers were selling it for. When you would go to the Sixers website to buy tickets, they would redirect you to StubHub. So that's why secondary sellers were having problems.
76ers second in the NBA in attendance, which is fantastic.
Fans show up.
20,500 a game. And leading them, surprisingly, the Bulls. They're the leader in attendance. All right, it's time for Devon Givens and his three-pointer.
This is the three-pointer with Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic, home of 76ers basketball.
Thank you, Tom. Devon, the stars come out when Devon Givens shows up.
Oh, yeah.
They are out to announce his arrival. Devon, it's getting warm weather and everything, and that's why the three-pointer's got to come out again. The pressure's on. As the Sixers head down the stretch, we're interested in your first point from last night's big game.
And the first point was they cleaned up an issue that was there for them on Sunday night there, John, where they had problems on the glass, not just the offensive rebounding, but the defensive rebounding as well, losing that one by 16 on Sunday night. And they turned it around, winning against the Miami Heat by 11. And on the offensive rebounding side, they won that category by 7. So it's something that we talked about a little bit when I had the opportunity to discuss it a little bit more was the fact that it was just simply effort and just understanding what to do. Boxing out and the effort of wanting to and getting the rebound. And they did that last night. And I thought that led to where they had 20 less shot opportunities, John, against the Toronto Raptors. They were a plus six in the field goal attempt against the Miami Heat without Joel Embiid on the glass as well. That was something that really stood out to me. So whenever you do that, you give yourself an opportunity, you give yourself those second chance points and not the team that you're playing against. And that is part of the reason, in my opinion, why they won last night in that game.
Devon, I heard yesterday on the Mike Messinelli show, and Bob, Mike said, offensive rebounds don't matter. It's a different game in the NBA. And I'm like, offensive, 20 extra opportunities to score? It matters.
It matters a lot when you're giving them up. Yeah, and Devon, I just wanted to ask you on that because it's a great point and probably my number one thing from last night also. Why do you think they are a better look, it's one game. Why were they a better rebounding team last night without Joel Embiid than seemingly they are with him on the floor sometimes?
Yeah, I think it was more of just wanting one of those deals, Bob, that you looked at what you did the night before and we need to correct it. And they stuck their foot in there, you know what, last night for just letting them know, hey, the coaching staff I'm speaking of, hey, this can't happen. The fact that they had 20 more opportunities than we did and all the points that they gave up on those opportunities, I think they were perfect, the Toronto Raptors were, from the floor, if I'm not mistaken, when they scored off of those rebounds where the Sixers only had a few opportunities there. So I think it was more of, hey, this can't happen anymore.
Devon, what's your second point from last night? Do you take away?
Just finally getting some help from the bench there, John. And you had a great showing last night where you were able to get 46 points from your reserves to help out the starters. Now, James Harden, Joel Embiid, as you guys just talked about, not there. But, hey, it kind of shows that maybe in some certain spot minutes, certain situations there, you can call the number. And maybe this also just gives Doc Rivers something else to think about, as well as his teammates, of how you can still lean on Shake Milton, Furkan Korkmaz, Danny Green in certain situations there. To get the 20 from Milton, you know who he is as a player. He's a streaky scorer, not a shooter. He's a scorer who likes the ball in his hands. He's a volume guy. Furkan Korkmaz, we know the story. Now, I'm not saying that they have to get the 31 minutes or the 27 or even 21 minutes and 17 minutes. What I'm saying is it gives Doc Rivers now, with 11 games to go, guys, something else to think about with the rotation in the event that he has to go to some other player on the wing. You know Jordan. You already know Niang, who was in the starting lineup last night, is going to get his minutes. Now you have to find out between Danny Green, Shake Milton, Furkan Korkmaz, Isaiah Joe, is there something there over these last 11 games where he feels comfortable going to them and leaning on them for a few minutes?
Devon, I guess with 48 minutes out of Paul Millsap and DeAndre Jordan last night, we can pretty much write off Charles Bassey and Paul Reed having any shot at a playoff rotation, huh?
Yeah, Paul Reed had that whopping 2 seconds. He played in the Powell game at halftime. So, I think so. And, Jay, we talked about this a lot. All of us have. When the trade happened, will the young guys have an opportunity? And Paul Reed had an opportunity early on. Doc Rivers went away from him. We haven't seen Charles Bassey since February, and yeah. I guess he just doesn't trust them yet.
Hey, what's your third point of the night?
Once again, Tyrese Maxey, John.
Yeah.
Just looking at that guy is just made for the moment. And, John, if you remember last year when we started the three-pointers, when you put this together and I would talk to you guys and you, myself, Jamie and Pat and Bob, we would talk about who we trusted. And I know Bob and I would do this during our pregame shows before the playoff game. And we had our issues with the players in that Atlanta series where we didn't trust people.
Yes.
Joel Embiid was the only one that we trusted. And I remember speaking to you guys and saying, even though he was a rookie, he's the only one outside of Embiid who I feel is not afraid of what is in front of him. And that continues this year. He has shown us so much more. And last night, to step up the way that he did, to score the 11 points in the fourth quarter while it was still a close game, it was there for Miami to eventually just take it away and say, okay, we're done playing with you guys. Let's take this W. All he did was come into the fourth quarter, score 11 points in 7 minutes, 5 for 5 from the floor, 2 for 2 from 3, and he was tremendous in that fourth period. and helping to lead. And look, John, there were some big shots last night that he hit there. Pardon me, 13 points. I'm shortchanging him. 13 points. Well, he hit some big shots, man. And that was 7 minutes and 6 seconds only where he did that. Tyrese Maxey was great last night. He was the number one three-pointer for me last night.
I do not know that he wasn't in the building, but I found it strange that James Harden, his face wasn't seen. Would that bother you if he wasn't in the building?
No, because he had been in the past when he did not play. He was in the building. So, no, it doesn't bother me that he wasn't in the building. Not yet, at least. No.
It just seems to me.
He was doing community outreach down on Delaware Ave.
You do not know that. Don't say that.
A joke.
Hey, do not know.
As long as we don't see any videos, the community outreach was not. It was not. It's not true. He was sitting at home watching the game.
Yeah, that's right. I just don't understand
why. In his hyperbaric chamber, getting his legs right.
I got to say why he wouldn't be at the game. Bob said it's no big deal. I think it's bad optics. That's just me. To not be at the game.
Yeah, I'm with Bob on this one. And look, sometimes they watch it from the back. We all know that. Now that's probably not the case.
Yep.
Watch it from the locker room or something like that. But for me, no, it wasn't a big deal because early on when he first got here and he wasn't playing, he did just that. He sat with them on the bench. He traveled with the team. I didn't worry about it. I thought, okay, is James Harden here? I looked. I didn't see him.
Where was Joel? Joel was there. Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, it could have been a case. You know, I'm pretty sure they probably flew out last night after the game, D, right?
Yes.
So, you know, it could have been a case. You're going to sit on a plane. He's got the hamstring. He could have been in the back on the bike, like on an every 30 minute, every 15 minute type of thing. Yeah. Look, he had to be in the building because they were flying out afterwards.
If he was texting players during the game, encouragement, I take that as he wasn't down the hallway.
Yeah, I
take it because that's what Maxey said afterwards. He was texting during the game. Hey, we're so glad to have you back, Devon. Big games down the stretch, and tomorrow night you got some late nights coming. Two out of the next 4 nights you have late nights.
Yeah, some long ones. Lakers tonight. Tomorrow night. The Clippers on Friday. Suns on Sunday night. And yeah, it's going to be a long couple of evenings there.
You're ready for it. Good job, Devon.
Good to be back, John.
Thank you. Go, buddy. Devon Givens joining us.
All right, D, be good.
On the Comcast Business Hotline. Devon doing the male model thing on Friday night. Wearing the new Sixers gear on social media.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
And Devon can be a style horse because he's got the physique for it, and he looks styling.
If they wanted a Husky Boys catalog, I'll offer my services.
That'd be fine. We can do that. How about the
I need a hat.
How about PJ Wellahan's happy hour on Thursday? From 5 to 7 p.m., we will be at the PJs on Mill Road in Oaks, Pennsylvania. Come on out and see if Pat Egan's hockey player friends like him.
2.5 is the over-under.
I said the over-under at 2.5.
There's honestly no excuse because we have a game at 8:15.
There's no excuse
for them not to show up.
Come in and have a few beers before the game? I mean, what's better?
What about the pre-game meeting? Do you go over the game plan for the...
Yeah, we have a film session.
A little film session and everything?
But I guess I'll find out if I truly am a locker room guy or not, if the locker room wants to.
If I had odds on the over, I'd probably sell it on PropSwap, John. College tournament's here, and PropSwappers are making thousands by buying and selling college basketball teams on PropSwap, so download the free app today.
Coach asked if we do the show sheet.
Do you do it before the game?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
We break down. Okay, so in the second period, we have Mike scoring a goal. Try to hit that quickly.
Yeah, it's like, that preparation adds off into big victories, like for happy hour.
Yes, it does.
Bob will look at the beer menu see what the beers of the month are at PJ's before we go because he'll prepare. It's like pregame.
He doesn't need to look at the appetizer for next month because he already knows what that is.
I don't know if it's going to be next month or not.
It was a wing of the
month.
When's
it coming? Yeah, I had some
coming,
people questioning
the appetizer
me yesterday.
Is coming. Well, there could be a bacon shortage.
Could be.
Putin may have cut out the bacon.
You threw their whole plan off. Now they need to come up with a wing of the month.
They don't need to come up with a wing of the month because we gave them 8 ideas. They're just going to use yours, Jamie. They should.
I hope they just go with the Captain Crunch wing or the Mrs. Butterworth wing and just go with it.
And
they could work.
Just go.
I want Bob's barbecue sauce, though. When you taste Bob's appetizer.
All you taste is bacon.
That barbecue. No, it's barbecue sauce. Was fantastic. It was the best. It was.
Should have just made that the sauce then, Bob.
Some of the best. Well, if we do a wing sauce competition.
Wasn't that what it was?
Sort of was, but no,
was
that?
It was a wing sauce competition, really?
It was a wing
competition,
of the month,
really?
I didn't know that.
Now you're changing what it was.
My wing next month is going to be a wing wrapped in a porterhouse. So you it's going to be good.
The porterhouse wing.
The porterhouse wing.
Really, that's your comeback?
Oh, it's dripping of jealousy.
Dude, it's like, it's how much dripping. Longer can you guys bitch and cry about
that was your
this?
Comeback was to go,
this is going to be a bit of a problem, though.
You
better
and Jamie.
I do too much basketball. I don't have time to go to movies.
Point taken.
We're all going to have to order takeout, though, because to see Bob on every table, Bob's face on every table. On the little plastic.
Now my face
thing?
Is going to be there too.
With I was the just looking
for my name on the
menu. I can tell you right now, I'm still so bitter that even though I really liked Bob's "quote unquote" wing, even though it's an app, I'm not ordering it out of spite.
He's steroided up.
We will have
That's
a
ridiculous.
We will have a
no,
debate.
I'm going to order it.
We will have a stupid sports debate, stupider than some of the ones which we already usually have coming up after the top of the hour.
More stupid.
Stick around for that. Plus, at 9:20, Bob gives you the final clue. If you are the astute listener, you'll be the second contestant in our big game show coming up. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. Get the all-new Bet Parks app. It's finally here. And I said it to you again. Last night, if you had put $10 down on the Parks boost for the night, Tyrese Maxey to score 20, and the Sixers to win the game. These are the kind of little gifts they give you, little bunnies they give you throughout the year. These little boost bets are available, and there's like a laundry list of them every single day. Fun and games await. Go to betparks.com, parks with an X, betparks.com. If you're in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, use the promo code Kincaid. Get a risk-free bet if you're a new customer, up to $750. And existing customers, take advantage of your $20 free sports bet or $20 in the casino. With the college basketball tourney kicking back on Thursday and Friday, you want to be in on all the action, and Bet Parks has got you covered. It's the Bet Parks app. It is awesome. Streamlined, gorgeous. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The 9 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to bagster.com. I absolutely love the gear, the Sixers. Thank you, 76ers. Really love you. Absolutely love it.
Good stuff.
What do they call it? The City Series? Or
The City Series, 76 but it's the new one. The 76 Original. Really nice stuff.
Comfy material.
We all went with, they're beautiful material. Yeah. I went with the same color, though, that you guys went with, and I wasn't trying to.
Sounds like a party.
Yeah, you guys wanted to all look alike. So they're sold out, by the way, online, but you can
get, they are.
You can get all of it down at the Wells Fargo Center.
Okay, so all Sweet. Of them on there at the Wells Fargo Center and everything like that.
It's sold
we
out.
All went
sold
with the, like, the navy blue.
Well, I just went what size was available to me. The others were a little smaller. And
the cream color looks really sharp.
I like the dark gray, too.
The dark gray Spectrum one is spectacular.
But that would look like intestinal casings on me, so I'm going to spare everyone that image.
You'd look like something from Haberset. There you go. There's the Sixers one right there in the navy blue, too. It's absolutely beautiful. As Coach hangs that up.
It's a nice item.
That is a very nice item. Now, Pat, the cream.
Yeah.
I would not see you picking the cream color.
I just, same as Jamie. They only had so many in children's large.
Yes.
So I had to go with what they gave me. And I appreciate it. I really do. Well, they're
the
good people down at
the board. The good thing, though, is with you, is that now you and Jack get to share clothes.
It's a blessing, really. Some people would say it's a curse. I think it's a blessing. We do have to thank Molly Mita.
Molly Mita!
Who sent us the stuff
what
from
you
the
say,
Sixers.
Molly?
She's good people.
She's of the mainline Mitas.
She just had a
they
child,
are
too.
Wonderful people.
She had a child. She got back from maternity leave, and she got
Molly
after.
Got right to work.
Yeah. She didn't sit around and...
No!
No.
She's not saying, look, I had a baby and now I'm just going to like put my feet up.
Going to pack it in. No,
she got
to work and she's like releasing new styles and whatnot. You know, the Spectrum series was so successful.
Molly said she's going to show up even if James Harden doesn't. She's showing up.
Yeah.
She's going to be there. She will be there for the night.
We appreciate
you. Don't let things go at all, do
not
you?
Not at all.
No, not even a little.
Bob, are you seriously surprised? It's just to say. I hope he's there. I just like it. Hey, I'm never going to understand this mentality. Let's have a little fun. I'm never going to understand the mentality of the fan that says, I have two teams. And if you talk about something I can't let go and something I've never been able to understand, I cannot get over this one at all. Having a team, and I'm going to keep this too, so we don't get into the same old discussion. College teams are out of the mix. Okay? So none of that. We're talking pro sports. I've never understood the mentality of the fan that says, I have two teams. Having a team means you have loyalty and passion. It means you can't be divided. You can't have two wives. You can't have two.
Wait. In some states, you can.
Yeah, and exactly. So Utah Jazz fans may want to be a part of this. You can't have two full-time jobs, let alone two teams. Those who have a second team, immediately I'm met with an eye roll. Well, they're my American League team, or they were my uncle's favorite team, and so no. You can't love your first team with undying passion if you have built yourself up a fallback plan. I think it is one of the weakest points of fandom. I've never understood it. I don't care who your dad liked. If you like another team, I don't care if you moved to another town. And I proved it to myself for a quarter of a century that I didn't have to say, well, now I'm living here, so now I'm going to root for this team. No, you don't have to do that. Your teams are your teams. I've never understood two teams. All professional sports. Bob, do you have two teams?
No.
You have one team in each sport.
Yeah, I laugh at the rules of fandom. It really is comical to me. I love this.
No, but you should start writing them down. Then.
Like so the passion that you had and the seriousness of which you were talking about rooting for a sports team,
yes.
It makes me giggle.
No,
I don't think there should be rules to fandom, but if you want to be serious about it, okay.
Buck used to say after partnering with me for so many years, he'd go, you have so many rules. Like, I can't keep track of the rules. Jamie, do you have a second team?
No.
In pro sports? No, you don't.
I have a soft spot for some teams.
That's different.
Yeah.
Totally different.
And I'll root for a lovable loser.
Totally different.
Like Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
But in an individual game, when it came time to the Super Bowl and the playoffs,
no.
You started talking about Joe Burrow and them in late December.
Yeah.
Right around Christmas time, you were saying, you know,
once my team's out of it, I'll find somebody to kind of have a rooting interest for.
But they're not your team.
No, not at all.
Oh, I have a second team.
No, I don't have an AL team.
Okay.
I don't have an AFC team.
Pat, do you have a second team?
No, come on. You know the answer to that.
Okay, you're just 100% loyal.
The Lakewood Blue Claws.
Okay, so now we all agree. We all agree on this. Coach? You're the only one that I think could be a bit of a stinker in the woodshed.
I did say to Pat, what if you live in one state for the first part of your life? You move.
I did.
Spend 20 years in the second state. Are you only bound to where you're originally from?
You're bound to the team. If you claim to be a diehard fan, you do that. I lived this and I did it. You lived this. You moved from California.
So now am I only bound to...
You're bound to whatever
the
team...
The Padres and...
No, you're bound to whatever team you decide you are the diehard for. So if you change... If you moved from San Diego to... Well, where did you move first? Did you move New Jersey?
To Pennsylvania first.
Pennsylvania,
yeah.
Okay. So if you choose to be an Eagles fan, then you dump the San Diego Alliance. You just have one team is the point. Look, I did, and I believe me, I got hated on for it for a quarter of a century that I'd openly root for Philadelphia teams living in another city and wouldn't bend because they were my teams.
I respect that.
And I got hated for it. I mean, just got...
It might not have been just for that, though.
You're right. It drove people crazy. But, I like it. Okay, so now I take it to the next level. Do you wear other teams' gear? Professional sports teams gear. Would you put on a Yankees hat? Would you put on a Boston Celtics? Well, maybe not Celtics isn't a good example. Would you put on a Lakers shirt?
Baseball's weird because I haven't worn it in a while, but I do have an old school Baltimore Orioles cap.
Why?
Because I think it's a cool hat. The orange,
so it's
black,
just
and white.
Because of the...
Yeah, I have an old Brewers hat, like the original Brewers, because, again, I think it's a cool hat.
Okay.
Baseball tends to have some cool hats. And as a hats person, I don't view it as I'm a fan of that team. I just view it as a cool hat.
Bob, I've never seen you wear Knicks gear or anything like that.
No, they don't treat us as well as the Sixers.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
Sixers are much better.
Yeah, they sent over
They
shirts
might start
today.
Right, now that they hired Patrick Reese, the communications PR guy.
Yeah.
They went and found a really good one.
Good point.
Congratulations, Patrick.
No, I don't.
Pat, you do not?
Generally
You're
speaking,
You're a diehard
no.
team.
I do have an Edmonton Oilers third jersey. I like the logo.
Just as a...
And even then, I'm very hesitant to wear it because I'm not an Oilers fan.
And you didn't wear it in Vegas when we saw the Oilers
no,
play Vegas.
No, I wasn't going to be that guy because I'm not an Oilers fan. But I do have that, but I'm so weirded. Like, there's minor league baseball teams that I like their logo, and I'm torn on whether I get the hat or not.
I like there were
I think that's completely
like
fair.
There were callers to my old radio station who were he's known as the big Yankees fan. I'm like, don't want him on the air. He's not on our show. I don't want him on the show. Like, I don't want to, like, well, he lives in Atlanta. He's a Braves fan, but his American League team is the Yankees, so he's gonna call up and talk Yankee stuff. Done. No interest. Done. Giant fan. No interest in you. Go find a Giants show to talk on. You're a Cowboy
the
fan.
Minor league teams. You wear whatever the hell you want.
But minor league teams do.
Because they're cool in market.
You're wearing it because of an odd look. I'm talking about pro sports teams.
Yeah.
We all agree on this.
Baseball
though.
Hat's the only one I would skew with.
And that's the only, and
like,
I do not.
Even when I got, I have a jersey for Jackie Robinson, but I made sure that it had Brooklyn
okay,
on it.
Wait a minute, though.
Like, I didn't want to say Dodgers on the front.
But you're wearing a jersey for Jackie Robinson.
But like, even with that, though, I'm saying I didn't want it to have Dodgers on the front. It had to say Brooklyn.
Okay.
So that when people saw it, they would right. know that it wasn't a Dodgers fan. It was a throwback.
But you are a historian.
Yeah,
of
yeah,
that era of baseball and that story in and of itself.
Yeah, that 55 team is stacked.
Which is amazing. Hey, if you got problems with your building's water and wastewater pump system.
What do you call?
You visit PumpManPhilly.com.
Pump, 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 pump.
Pumpman Philly.
Oh, we're back.
The guys to know to fix your flow. Fix. We're back, Pump Man. You're back, and we love you for it.
And by the way, that conversation doesn't apply to children.
Yes, it does.
I don't think so. Because as a kid, I had a Chris Webber Warriors jersey. I had a Jason Kidd Mavericks jersey. I had a Magic Johnson Dream Team jersey.
Yeah,
I had
a Montreal Expos hat that I never took
like,
off.
My buddy wanted to eat.
Yeah, but like my buddy Dave just sent this to our college group of friends, and he was like, hey, my kid wants to get a Ja Morant jersey. He's
no.
a Sixers
yeah.
fan.
No.
And I said, go for it.
I'd be lying if I didn't sit here and say that, first of all, my first favorite player of all time, my dad always told me,
okay.
he would babysit me with a videotape of the Sixers versus the Trailblazers. My favorite player was Charles Barkley.
Really?
Everybody okay. on the court was Charles Barkley, including the white guys. So he was my first favorite player. 9-year-old Pat wanted a Patrick Ewing jersey because his name was Patrick. Like, that's how stupid kids are.
Yeah, kids, you got to give a pass.
Then guess what? Go get a summer job. Pay for it yourself.
Nah. Maybe I did, jackass.
I would not allow it. Not allowing it. Not having it.
Bob's face.
When Super Bowl Friday, so when the Falcons were in the Super Bowl, the school allowed the kids to all wear their football gear for the pep rally and everything, and there was one girl in her Eagles gear decked out, and the next year, she got her dream.
That's a little different, though.
What? She was just standing out and getting ridiculed by all the kids?
It's different because that's like a bunch of people that want you to latch onto the hometown team. She's not.
I said, don't put Falcons gear on.
I don't necessarily, if I see somebody in a Ja Morant jersey, I don't think, oh, man, they're a diehard. I can talk Memphis
Kyle did that when he was growing up. He would collect jerseys from around the league.
Yeah, like, he'd go to Rice's Market and get the good deal. And
yeah,
I had like 5 or 6 of them.
I also want
pool and beach.
I want to take this opportunity to apologize to John. I didn't mean that. It was a moment of weakness.
Oh no, I sort of appreciated it.
It's a Happy Gilmore quote.
My godson says he has some Chinese website.
Yeah, I know
Andrew,
what it is.
Andrew will have to call.
Starts with a DH
where he gets like
There's 20, a bunch of them.
He gets like 20 bucks. Or 24. Yes.
Yeah, they're
and
not
by
bad.
The way, it didn't look bad at all.
No, they're not bad.
Hey, Staples stores are a new world of possible. Innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. You can explore more at your local Staples store or visit staplesconnect.com. Elliot. Elliot's in Foxborough. Elliot, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on? I want to comment on the two teams thing.
Yeah, there is no such thing.
There is no such. You're right. And I live in Foxborough, right? So I'm surrounded by Patriots fans.
Yeah, you are. And,
yeah, I am.
Do you just say 41-33? Do you just taunt them?
I say Super Bowl 52.
I see. That's not bad. You would never put a Patriots hat on.
So. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. I grew up raised around the Patriots culture. My dad's from Philadelphia. My mom's from Connecticut. All I saw was Patriots stuff. So I grew up a Pats fan.
Are you a Sox? I won't hide that. Are you a Sox fan?
I am a Sox fan.
Okay, so you root for the Sox and you do not root for the Patriots.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, then you're a man of integrity. You were raised right. Then that's hard though. Because if you're a diehard Sox fan, to not be a Patriots fan.
When I was a kid, I liked watching the Red Sox because of Fenway Park.
Oh, always.
You know, so they kind of became, I liked watching them play. And then my sister, years ago, married a guy from Baltimore, and they've lived there forever. And when I was a little kid, they would take me to Orioles games at the old Memorial Stadium. And I liked watching the Orioles because I got to go there. So, but it doesn't, you're never going to root.
They weren't your second team.
You're never going to root. When the Orioles played the Phillies in the World Series in 1983, I wasn't rooting for the Orioles. That's for damn sure.
Hey, Randy's in Mount Airy. Randy thinks something's absurd. Randy, what do you think's absurd?
Oh, John, you're tripping, dude. I love you guys. You guys are amazing, but thank you're me. Tripping. I got an 8-year-old. He really got into football the year the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. He loves Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. So he's a Chiefs fan. We went to the Chiefs game this year. He loves the Eagles. Eagles are his team. But as a kid,
no, they aren't.
He's a Chiefs fan.
No, but they aren't.
He'll learn. It's a learning process.
Yeah, he's young.
He can do whatever he wants. You can't be an Eagles fan. Well, the Eagles are his team, and then he's trotting around school wearing his Chiefs stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody bought him a Chiefs hat. It's okay. He's 8.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Randy,
it is okay.
Is this you with the bad parenting?
Oh, my goodness, no. Listen. His mother's a Cowboys fan.
Oh, jeez. Randy, you entered into a mixed marriage?
In comparison.
Seriously, Cowboys-Eagles household?
I said, no. We're no longer together.
Oh, okay.
I can see why.
You got rid of her.
But when I was a kid, when the 49ers beat the Cowboys in 1980, I was like, all right, well, Joe Montana's my hero now. I always rep for the Eagles, but as a kid, when you know, one of those teams will do something that gets you into the sport, and if it's not your team, you'll kind of latch onto them.
Yes.
I have a Jerry Rice jersey.
Oh, jeez. How old are you, Randy? Let me ask.
48.
Okay, that's old with the 17
I think 15
stuff.
Is a good age to cap that.
I would go with 14.
Yeah, 14 or 15.
Yeah, you're in high school at that point.
David Justice growing up. I hated the Braves, but I loved David Justice.
A lot of women did.
Halle Berry, one of them.
Let me ask you this question. I got a tweet from Dev. He said, my biggest pet peeve in sports is if you go to a Sixers versus Celtics game, but you're wearing a Portland Trailblazers or a Utah Rudy Gobert jersey. What do you think of that fan? Because normally I think they must actually be a Jazz.
Well, it's like,
or, you know, like whoever the, like, if I see someone in the street, I don't think, oh man, they're a Utah Jazz fan. But if they're at a Sixers Celtics game and they're wearing a Rudy Gobert jersey, I think they're probably in town from Utah.
Yeah.
Like, I loved Ken Griffey Jr. I had a Mariners hat as a kid because he was junior. He was cool as hell.
And you wore it backwards.
I did. I didn't look as cool as him.
And you disgraced the game, remember? Remember, he's disgracing the game, taking that in practice with his hat.
But to Randy's point,
Jim Fregosi was one of those guys, by the way.
If your kid falls in love with the league, he'll learn.
Like, he'll learn to say, this is bogus.
To filter it down to the Eagles.
It's bogus.
But right now, he's just learning. Well, most people do.
No, I'm saying like Jamie and me, we just admitted in a moment of weakness that we wanted other players' jerseys from other teams.
Yeah, but you were 15, 14.
You look at us now,
it's different.
And I mean, we're thriving.
You got to fall in love with the sport.
Pat, you go a little extreme.
Like, if that kid's gateway is Patrick Mahomes to the NFL, then so be it.
Is this thriving for you, Pat?
This is it. I'm living the dream. It's not getting any better than this.
Bob's,
seeing you guys at 5 in the morning.
Bob's looking startled with this. I just find it very, very interesting, but it is so funny, Bob, because you absolutely is. They used to keep a list of the rules. Well, wait a minute, let's check the rules. What's John's rule on this?
I just like to watch sports.
I do not allow, though. Olivia will tell you, never. Don't ever put another team's gear on. And I have jerseys from every franchise. Like, you know how we'll get union jerseys?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get stuff like that. I have jerseys from Braves, Falcons, all of them, with my name on the back that were given to me, and I've never, never been worn.
So if Olivia didn't like the NBA and all of a sudden became enamored with John Morant because he's highlight reel.
No.
And
she can earn it on her own money. She can buy it.
Dad, I want to get a John Morant jersey.
Yeah, she can go buy it. I would never buy it, and she knows it.
But would you ridicule her while wearing
it? Yes. I would go, why are you wearing that?
Hey, that's not right.
Why are you wearing it? She got her new James Harden jersey that's waiting for her when she comes up at Easter. She's so excited to have her Harden jersey.
There you go.
This has been her town even when she didn't live here.
I just don't want to shut people out of the sport.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
No, I do. Learn to love the Sixers.
You don't have to.
She had an Allen Iverson shirt, and Allen Iverson was already done. She had an Allen Iverson shirt that she loved.
She had a strong tie to a city, but
you can teach your kids the right way.
Yeah, but
is what it is. You can teach your kids the right way.
The kid wants to like John Morant. Let them like John Morant. They're a kid.
And the kid wants to like smoke crack. Are you going to support that?
Absolutely. If little Billy down the street is,
those are definitely comparable terms. Yes.
If the
smoking crack or wearing a John Morant jersey.
If the kid wants to have cookies for breakfast, example.
I'll let her do that.
Bad example.
I mean, you wanted the sugar early in the day so it burns off. It's better than late at night, right?
See, I'm envious because my mother would not ever allow that.
Yeah, I'm pretty...
Because some nun told her, don't give him sugar cereal.
Yeah.
And she kept it all through. Never.
Maybe you should have had some sugar cereal.
I was never allowed it.
I think you need some.
You take that up with Betty. She's over at St. Peter and Paul. Go find her.
I'll visit her.
Go find her. And you go... She's got a...
Knock on the headstone.
She only bought the flat stone because she thought it was a waste that people buy the stones that are up in the air.
She
thought it was a waste. Why are you doing that? I'm dead anyway.
By the way, we just had a tweet in. Alex Throne.
Alex?
He tweeted us a screenshot from an NBA six-leg parlay last night.
Did he hit it?
$5.60 wager paid out $157.52.
Great job, dude.
$157,000.
$157,000?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I leave out the thousand?
Yeah, left out the thousand.
$157,000.
No, wait a minute. Did he hit it or did somebody hit it?
His tweet to us says, I'm still reeling from last night.
Okay, we got to check the authenticity. That looks pretty awesome, though. That's awesome.
It's a bunch of first. It's a first basket parlay.
Okay, that's crazy town.
Valanciunas, LeBron, Cade Cunningham, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, and Kristaps Porzingis.
By the way,
I pray for his
first basket.
This is his.
By the way, you know how I'm raising a child correctly. Anthony Gargano has texted me and said, "I applaud you." She could buy her own.
Yeah, right. If Massimo wanted to buy a Dame Lillard jersey, Ant would support it.
No, but not have a second team.
Oh, that's fine.
No, but you do not allow here. The
here doesn't team. Equate to fandom.
I don't think it does either. All right, last clue from Bob Cooney. If you've been listening at 20 minutes past every hour, tomorrow, Jamie Lynch will have the clues. What's the last clue, Bob?
Milk.
Bob's last clue to qualify today to be the second contestant.
Milk steaks. Milk.
There you go. There we go. There's the final clue. So put the four clues together, and you'll have the opportunity to potentially win. It'll be great. We look forward to it. All right. Someone will have a chance to be the second qualifier coming up after the bottom of the hour. And I love using the bottom of the hour now that it bothers people. We have an idea, and Bob decided to go deep to try to find out a comparison between this Phillies lineup and one that we loved in the past. We'll get to that, too. Next, John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. When the Birds had 3 first-round draft picks, where are you going to be? You're going to be at the draft, right? You're going to be at the draft with Philly Sports Trips. PhillySportsTrips.com. They are the experts in traveling the Philly sports fan, and they've got 2 parties lined up in Vegas with us, and you're going to be out there with us. Let's say you want to, you plan a trip out. You want the airfare. You want to get three nights hotel. You want to hang out with us at a couple of the parties. You can do that. Let's say you're already going out for the draft yourself and you just want to join us for the parties. You can do that too. PhillySportsTrips.com is the place to be. Grab your friends. And if you've already booked that trip to Vegas, you join us for all the parties. It's going to be a lot of fun. We want you there with us. There has never been a more critical draft for the Philadelphia Eagles where they have had the clout to really throw their weight around. You're going to want to be in Vegas with us for that party. We'll be doing live broadcast on Thursday and Friday, two of the draft. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's PhillySportsTrips.com. Book your trip today. Get your deposit down at PhillySportsTrips.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. How well do you know the John Kincaid Show? How long have you been a part of our 15-month family?
About a year.
And how, a little over a year.
And how long are we obligated to have you, Pat? Just to...
Oh, no, the Groupon's up.
It is up?
Yeah, you can get rid of me at any point.
Pat renewed.
I tried to tender my resignation for the reply all email today, but...
Well, we wouldn't accept it.
Yeah.
We're not accepting it. It's going to be, we want somebody to be the second qualifier for our game show. So people are like, well, what's this game show? Well, instead of having 10 qualifiers and having them be just randomly picked out of a hat, you're going to have a chance to show your knowledge of the show and compete for the chance to win a trip to Vegas for you and a friend. By the way, NJ Diet, start your own spring training with NJ Diet. It only takes 40 days to lose 20 to 40 plus pounds, contractually guaranteed. Go to NJDiet.com. That's NJDiet.com. I say... We open the phone lines at 215-263-0975. 215-263-0975. This was a crappy showcase. If they played this music, you weren't getting a car.
Oh.
You were getting something else. Yeah, this was a car. You'd win a car if they played this
one.
We
need something appropriate for a free trip for two to Vegas.
Yes, I mean, this is great. Well, this is qualifying.
Yes, you're right. You're qualifying.
This will be our second qualifier if the person gets the answer right. 215-263-0975. Our first qualifier was from Delco yesterday. And the first one to get through today is also from Delco at 215-263-0975. Mike from Delco. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful.
Bob, you
have O'Hara's
own
right here.
Oh, yeah, another O'Hara grad, too. This isn't even fixed. I like it. All right, Bobby, what are your four words?
My four words, Mike, are hand, down, bake, and milk.
What is the memorable moment from the John Kincaid Show, Mike, when those clues come together?
It's a segment that'll live on in infamy forever. It's like the Jelly of the Month Club. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
That's right, Mike. It's
Jake-ism.
Yes! Mike from Delco. Mike, where are you officially in Delco? Are you on the good side of Delco? Wait, tell us where you are.
Briarcliff area.
Oh, you're Briarcliff? Yeah, it's you're a little uppity then, is what you're telling me. There we go. Hey, Mike, how would you love to come to Vegas with us for the draft?
It'd be awesome.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah, I've been listening to you guys since day one. It would be awesome to
thanks,
be
Mike.
Vegas and hang out with y'all.
There you go, buddy. Cool. Mike from Delco was our second qualifier, and Mike from Levittown was on hold. Mike was the second one in case Mike from Delco had messed up. So we are two for two on the first person getting it.
Nice.
So you got to be listening.
We'll know the show.
And we open up the phone lines for it. Now, Jamie's got to come up with the four words tomorrow.
I already wrote them down.
Jamie, tell me you will not make this complicated. You will actually come up with just four words. You play by the rules. You just give them the four words. Yes, you're going to
be two words at a time.
No. One word.
What about shake and bake? That's kind of one.
That was awesome. Shake
is
insane.
Yeah, his
are going to be rattle and roll, Milton.
But shakeisms are something that will, honestly.
It's part of our sports culture.
It is now.
The Sixers unveiled the new shakeism collection.
Well, I thought that if they were smart, they would have opened up the stand with all the those desserts would have been shakeisms. See, they could open up. Where'd you get that mega $15 dessert?
No. It's called something else.
Okay, what did you think of it? By the way, I never got the real scan. I saw it.
Very good. I got the one that comes with an ice cream sandwich on top, and I did that strategically. It was a mint.
It was mint
chocolate chip, but it was an ice cream sandwich at the top. So I was getting double the ice cream. A lot of those monstrosities that you see, the one that we had in Vegas, the actual milk content isn't huge. You know, it's really the grand scheme of things. Like the whole construction of it looks big. When you actually get down to the crux of it, not that much.
Someone made
with that said, I'd still eat it.
You said milk chocolate. Milk chocolate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What about?
I got made fun of for how I say chocolate the other day.
Oh, tell me, shove it.
By somebody.
Who?
I can't remember. Names.
Say it again.
But I was picked on chocolate.
Yeah, you say it different.
Yeah, I knew what it was.
Chocolate. You say chocolate.
Yeah, it's weird. Like but I never even realized I say it weird.
Well, we're the show that has a guy that says helicopter.
Helicopter.
Only sometimes.
Crown.
There you go.
Crown is right. Back
no,
off.
It's not. That is so weird.
By the way, I'm sorry, man. You didn't deserve that.
My godson, Andrew, texted in. DH Gate.
Yeah, it's...
A lot of people
know that site.
I am now going to DH Gate. I am in on DH Gate. Check that all out. Hey, by the way, if you're feeling boxed in by the pressures of running your business, with 30-plus years of HR experience, Insperity can help lighten your load, expand your possibilities at Insperity.com. So get yourself checked up with that, which is awesome. All right, it's time for it. In Cooney's Corner, Bob wants to go under the hood on a discussion that we started yesterday.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Yeah, I really started looking again. I don't know why I'm so obsessed with the Phillies lineup this year, but I feel like a little kid with a new toy. I can't wait to see what happens. Yesterday, they threw out a little bit of the lineup. Hoskins was in the lineup and different things like that. I think we're all set on Schwarber leading off or whatever. But however you want to do the lineup, I'm really interested in comparing this team to the team of 2008. And before we get to the lineup, let's do pitching staff. Pat, I'll give you the 2008 team. Okay? The pitching staff of that 2008 team.
Cole Hamels, Brett Myers, Jamie Moyer, Joe Blanton, Kyle Kendrick.
Okay. You heard what they were. Would you compare them to this year's? How would they compare, rather, to this year's Phillies starting lineup of Wheeler, Nola, Gibson, Suarez, Eflin? Who do you give the nod to, Jane?
Cole was so good in those playoffs, but you'd have to say Wheeler's probably the better pitcher.
I don't think you have to say that.
Wheeler's the... that's a tough one. Because if Cole doesn't perform above his, you know, mean...
No, but I'm saying that you just from that the year. Whole year, that year, I mean... I think this staff may be better.
This staff should be better.
I lean that way.
Should be better.
Your number two starter that year was sent down to the minors midway through, and you also had Adam Eaton, who is the starter for most of the season. You had to bring in Joe Blanton at the deadline because of the fact that Adam Eaton was so bad. I mean, that rotation is not good. And if Zach Wheeler can be, you know, close to what he was last year. I don't expect him to replicate what he did last year, but if he can become close, then he's going to be better than what Cole Hamels gave you in the regular season.
And Nola should be better than any number two.
Should be better than any number two, right?
So I like it. Okay, go on.
Okay, now let's go to the starting lineups. And we'll go hitting because defense is whatever.
Sure.
All right, so Schwarber, Jimmy Rollins leading off.
Rollins.
I think we're all pretty good there, right?
Rollins.
Shane Victorino versus...
Victorino.
Bryce Harper.
Oh, wait, center fielder. Ah. No, center fielder.
I was going batting order.
Oh.
Yeah, I was going batting order because Rollins, Schwarber lead off.
We still don't know who's technically going to be the two.
Okay.
Because it could be a Castellanos, it could be
Bryce. This is my game, so we're playing with my rules.
All right, who's your number two, Bryce?
Bryce Harper.
Well, you got to go him over Victorino.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
I feel like this is a move to sway.
No, I'm not. All right. Chase Utley, Castellanos.
Chase.
Chase was ridiculous that year.
Chase.
Four hitter, Ryan Howard.
Howard.
Okay. Who are we going to put it for? We'll put Hoskins at four. Jason Worth, JT Realmuto.
Worth.
JT.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I'm going JT.
Really?
Like, Worth was really good.
He took over the job in season.
JT's doing this, though.
I don't think necessarily.
I'll just go by the numbers.
I mean, the big factor for me was the fact that he took over midseason for Jeff Jenkins.
Okay.
But, I mean, he had 24 home runs and almost 70 RBIs.
Look, it's close. I'm
shocked. I'm shocked you both said that.
All right. Pedro Feliz, Gene Segura.
Gene.
At the plate, Gene. You're saying hitter, Gene.
Yeah. So, like, those are the bigger names right there.
There you go.
I mean, that 2018 won a World Series.
Your disrespect for and Pat Burrell.
And honestly.
Oh, good point. All right. My fault.
Yeah.
So let's go, Pat.
Disrespect for Carlos
Ruiz.
This
was your game.
Wow.
It is.
Carlos Ruiz. I mean, come on.
He was Senior October, man.
Senior October. Not necessarily that year, but.
Did I say senior?
No, wait a minute, though. You go Senior October, yeah. But you won't go Pascal.
Because Pascal doesn't have a tilde at the top of it. Senior has the tilde.
Senior October.
That puts the stank on it. That's the stank symbol.
The tilde?
Yeah,
I didn't even know that. I didn't have.
A little wave.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so I was just comparing the 2008 world champions to this team, lineup.
It's not that bad, though.
What I really stuck out to me and why I started it all is because I think this Phillies pitching starting staff is, like, Pat, I think it's a lot better than what they threw out there.
If you went straight up left fielder for left fielder, are you taking Pat Burrell or Nick Castellanos?
Castellanos.
I would take Castellanos,
I'd take Castellanos.
So would I.
There you go. Good job, Bobby. That was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. David Ajabo goes down with an Achilles injury. And Jamie, as you point out, this was the team that went with Sidney Jones.
Yeah, it is. And I wonder how many people out there are burned by that. Because if I had the opportunity to trade back with, say, like a Cincinnati, and they wanted 19, and I could pick up 31 and maybe a third rounder.
You'd probably pick up 31 and a third rounder. By the way, I got all the math done on this, which is great. So I'll give you the numbers. You'd probably pick up a third rounder. You may even pick up a third and a sixth.
I would.
Not that it matters, but.
Do that and go draft David Ojabo. I view it, and I think Howie views it the same way. Look, Sidney Jones burned you. He did. There's no denying that. That's still a draft pick I make pretty much 10 out of 10 times. David Ojabo is a guy I think was going to be tied here. I think they were going to think long and hard about him. If you can get decent value, he still might be able to be ready for camp if he's anywhere near what Cam Akers was able to do.
6 months, yeah.
Yeah, like
6 months?
I mean, it might have even been five.
Yeah.
It's not the Achilles of old. It's obviously not an ideal injury, but he's not playing that skill position out on the field. He's playing on the line where it's a little less dramatic of movements. I don't want to say it's nothing, but you know how cornerbacks play. You know, it's constant change of direction, this and that. A defensive edge rusher, I can be a little more safe with. I would take him at the end of the first. I still would.
Okay.
I wonder if you guys feel the same or if other people do.
I told you before, I may have told you off the air and maybe not shared it on the air, that I had someone that I really trust in an NFL circle said, I asked the person, do you think Howie's going to use all three draft picks, 15, 16, 19? And he said to me that he believes that there's a chance that Howie doesn't draft 15, 16, or 19. Because he says he could see him moving up with one of the picks, he could see him moving back with another one of the picks, and he could see another one of the picks being traded to someone else for a first round next year.
Sure.
Like, he's like, there could be a situation where we're talking 15, 16, 19, and they never draft at any of those three spots.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm like, that would be wild.
If Sauce Gardner or Thibodeau's on the board, we've talked about it, at 8 or 9, you know he's thinking about it.
Absolutely. Because he's a mover and a shaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that second round pick, the first pick of Friday night, make him into play.
And I wonder how much Ojabo now falling. I mean, it's awful for the kid. He costs, you know, he costs millions of dollars.
Do you see the crying? I don't know if you saw the little video. I mean, just
heartbreaking.
the heartbreaking anguish of he's worked his whole life for this,
yeah.
and he's at something it's like brutal. That. It goes down, and now he's singing himself. He caught there was a on the NFL Live the other day that he could have cost himself $15 to $20 million guaranteed.
Jeez.
The scouts that were there were getting
emotional,
ridiculed.
But no, the
a
one.
Bit.
Well, they didn't. The people
went to
who
go,
ran.
They went, yeah, they went to go pick up the ball before checking on
it. Well, that wasn't the scout. That was the someone from
whoever
Michigan.
It was. Yeah, that's dude. That's
one of the Michigan
blooded,
coaches. It was absolutely
very
cold-blooded.
I watched it after you brought it up the other day. Horrible.
I mean, it was
pretty obvious too what happened to him.
Well, you know no, I mean? Wasn't. I disagree with that at all.
See, I
did
nowadays,
not
when a guy goes down like that and starts grabbing his Achilles, immediately I go, well, he blew his Achilles.
I thought he sort of grabbed his back of his leg, like. I mean, it was scary looking, though.
It curls up on you on that calf, right, Ant? You did it.
Anthony Gargano's in the house with a guest.
I have a guest, all right? This is great. So this
I thought it was McLovin
this is
when he came in. I really yeah, did. I thought you brought McLovin
he does
you.
Look like. In fact, my boy does look like him. I had to. You were talking about.
Two teams.
Right. And you were talking about fandom. And I got a great guy. My man. You have all heard him, maybe even spoken to him. He's one of the great Philadelphia fans from across the pond.
Oh, Sam in England.
Yes,
I didn't
Sam
even recognize him.
From England.
Sam, welcome in.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
What's up, Sam?
How about my boy?
Okay, Sam, you don't fit your voice.
Okay, why is that?
I would think Sam was from any random town in Chester County.
Because I'm dressed in Eagles and Sixers.
Yeah, you look like you blend right in. You don't look like someone who would be having tea and crumpets.
British people don't look like, differently.
No, wait, look at his. Wait a minute.
No. Find them that
Malcolm
a soldier.
From Dublin? Yeah. Or
Anthony, you sound like you're from London town. Hello, Pop.
I'm not going Austin Powers here. Okay. But I want my boy Heavy Chevy to get a look. Look at the man's teeth. They're brilliant. Look at his teeth.
Nah, they're not that great.
They look great. They look great. They're not hair. Yeah,
not every. Never mind. I'm gonna leave that alone.
I'm telling you. Welcome
Sammy,
in,
man.
I love it. I love it that
my
you're
boy.
Here.
Yeah, I love you guys. I listen to you because both of you guys are on YouTube, so I can listen to both of you at the same time. So where I work from home now.
What work do you do?
I work for a bank called HSBC. I don't think I love that much.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. So, I work from home and I can just listen to you guys on YouTube. And there's only a 4-hour time difference at the moment. And if it stays like that and you don't change it, that's even better for me.
Permanently? No, it will be. Yeah. You know that next fall, it will be permanent.
Yeah, so only when we change our clocks, we're still going to do it, I think. But yeah, it'd be great for most of the year to have 4 hours. So yeah, I'll have you guys on all day and just like listen to you in the background and just carry on with my work. And, you know, I try not to have any meetings when there's like stuff going on when you guys are breaking stuff. But
did you go to the Sixers game last night?
Yeah, I've been to all three over this weekend. That's why I chose.
Oh, is that right?
No,
man.
Stay, my boy.
I love it.
Johnny, tell them about your kids. Their names.
Yeah. So my eldest son, when I came over in 2010, so this is like my sixth time. I've met Jamie and Bob before and first time I met John, because obviously he needs a station. But my eldest son's middle name's Iverson. After Alan, because I got stuck out here. He wouldn't have been here if Alan didn't return. My middle child's not really got any Sixers-related name, but his middle name's Carter, so we say it was kind of Carter Williams, but we'll say Vince Carter for now.
Okay.
And then my youngest, in England, it says it's Joel, but it's we all know it's Joel, so his middle name's Joel.
I love it.
My wife
doesn't
have that, yeah.
Does your wife like you, Anthony?
She said I could stay here and that dog could go with my wife.
What is the association with Philadelphia, though?
So my soccer team won their only ever trophy in 1976. So as a joke on an Xbox, I was like, oh, 76, I like that. I'll pick them. And then in early 2000s, it was really big in England. Like every morning on a Saturday, they would show highlights. And obviously 2001 and 2, we were on all the time. So I was like, oh, I'm like him. He's small. Alan Iverson, he's small. I'm about the same height as him, thinking he was like 5 foot something. But he's not. He's 6 foot.
He might be 5'11".
Anthony, yeah. You know what he said? Did you hear it?
The waist?
Yes. I love that.
One of
twice
us.
You said, well, we.
One
oh, we were
us.
On all the time.
Oh, yeah.
We were.
Yeah.
I love that. Because that's the way it should be.
Oh, it's family.
Loyalty. It's family.
Right.
Yeah. It's brotherhood. You feel like you're a Philadelphian when you're here.
Yeah, yeah. My friends look after me who live in the PA area. My mate John's been looking after me. I've been staying at his house. I've been staying at hotels. And yeah, and I've got loads of friends through my Facebook group that I'm on. Everyone's really cool to me because I'm from England. But
you know what they say about Philadelphia, John? When you're here, you're family.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's why I hate those fraud Cowboy fans and those fraud other fans.
Freaking shame!
If you live in Philly and you've got all these sports, you've got five sports teams on your doorstep, you should not support any other team.
Okay, I love that. I really love that. Tell me this, though. Have you ever played the Cuz to other people in England?
Yeah, I was saying to Cuz. So, yeah,
what do they think of Cuz?
Well, the Cuz clip I share is him going
huge. He's 6 or 7.
Yes.
And what do they think?
They think he's mad, but they love it. Because I share stuff. You guys break stuff. Huge. I find it. How do you know that? I'm like, well, I'm listening to 97.5. So I share stuff with my friends before they know it. So I look like I'm Mr. Pop. Like I'm like the Woj of the UK because I can take it to my friends.
It's a shame, Bob.
Yeah. So like they love it that I can like release stuff.
What is your favorite?
I'm moving to England because I'll be big there.
I do not like English food.
Well, you haven't had an English breakfast. Have you had a full English breakfast?
Oh, that's good.
So, breakfast is my least favorite meal, though.
But you had that with this thing called brown sauce, HP brown sauce.
I don't do any kind of sauces or gravy.
It's good.
Nah, John, you've got to try it, my friend.
Really, really?
Yeah, mate, you've got to try it. You have fried egg, fried bacon, and the bacon's
okay,
different.
That sounds good. I like the fried egg. I like the fried bacon.
Yeah, and then French toast.
Sort of.
Yeah, sort of. And then beans.
No, beans. Breakfast? Beans?
Yeah, I'm not a beans fan, but like people, that's what people have traditionally.
We can't. I work with these two. In this confined space, no way am I eating that in the morning.
That's true.
Don't lump me in with Bobby Blows It Up over here.
We're not having that.
Full English. That's what you're talking about. Sometimes I'm a full English watching highlights of the Sixers game if I can't quite stay up or whatever. Or listening to you guys.
English.
I love it.
Isn't that awesome?
I love it.
It's my man right here. I love it. That is awesome. Sam, good job, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Great to have you in here.
Sam, good to see you again, buddy. You're the best.
That is absolutely awesome. Anthony, you got a big show planned today? Is CVS?
No, Sam's co-hosting.
CVS, when is CVS coming on? When is CVS coming on?
Oh, Charlie's coming on 11:30.
No.
Cooper Vincent.
Cooper Vincent Saltunas.
CVS.
He's a pharmacist. That's his street ball name.
So his street ball name is the pharmacist. Jamie named him already.
Yeah.
He's got to be the pharmacist.
That's pretty good, isn't it? I haven't seen Jamie's done in a long time.
I have another name for him. The receipt. Because everybody always can go to CVS and you get the foot-long receipt.
Yeah.
So he could be the receipt. You know, check the receipts after the game. Check the receipts for his dishing. Uncle Anthony.
We'll stick with pharmacists.
Good job, Uncle Anthony.
You're amazing.
Good job, Sam. Thank you. Welcome aboard. Hey, remember, support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, Farron Electric. Make a donation today to the American Association for Cancer Research at 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. Tomorrow, we will seat our third contestant in our contest to see who comes to Vegas with us. It's going to be awesome. Plus, so many different discussions, including one about your Sixers, where maybe we think a lot more of them than the rest of the country does. That'll be one of our leads tomorrow. Be with us tomorrow at 6, John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
Warmer weather is coming. Springtime is here, and I'm so excited to get out and tackle the yard work around my house. Yesterday, I just took it for a joyride around the backyard, mulching up some leaves and some twigs and some branches. I'm just itching to get out there. And I know it sounds funny, but with my new equipment from the Lawn and Golf Supply Company in Phoenixville, yard work is a breeze, and I actually enjoy doing it. All they had to do was put a little beer holder on my lawnmower, and I was happy as a clam. Keeping my lawn looking pristine is a piece of cake with my new Club Cadet XT1 riding mower from Lawn and Golf Supply Company. Lawn and Golf are the experts when it comes to all of your outdoor power equipment needs. Plus, they have a top-rated service department for outdoor equipment in the area. It's the best you'll find. And if you're like me and you don't really know how to service your equipment that well, this is the best feature. Call Lawn and Golf. They'll arrange to pick it up, bring it back to their service shop, and deliver it back to you, ready to tackle any project on your to-do list. And now is the time. If you have any brand of mower or any outdoor power equipment that you need to get serviced, get into Lawn and Golf today. Fanatic listeners, 10% off service when you mention my name. You get 10% off simply telling them that you heard about it here on The Fanatic. So check them out at lawn-golf.com. Lawn and Golf Supply Company. Everything turf.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.